And welcome to In-Game Chat for Wednesday, July 7th, 2010. Incidentally, today's one of the days that Doc Brown entered into the DeLorean in the original Back to the Future.
No, it's not.
It is, however, what day is it?
It's Bungie
Monkey
Day.
Island 2 Day.
No, it's
Bungie Day.
Who got killed today?
July 7th?
I don't know.
Ron Silver.
Oh, that's right. Time Cop.
Today is the day that Jean-Claude Van Damme killed Ron Silver in Time Cop.
That's right.
Thank you, Twitter. Thank you. Who was that on Twitter? Who told us
that? Inmost Light, I believe is who that was. Yes.
That was brilliant. I was like, God damn it. Yeah. Poor Ron Silver. He didn't last long.
He didn't. This is the Stinky Squirrel episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Matt.
I'm Jeremy.
Dennis.
I'm RJ.
In this episode, we, of course, take your tweets, your emails, your voicemails, as we always do, which brings up discussions on motion controls for gamers such as RJ. Also, where PC games are headed, which is born from that discussion. What we got from the Steam sale, Just Cause 2. James got a lot of fun from the Steam sale. Just Cause 2, Crackdown 2, Infamous 2. A lot of sequel talk we're going over here. There's a nice discussion about rentals versus buying versus digital distribution. Big discussion going on there. Hulu Plus is brought up, and of course, close out the show with some talk about what Blizzard's doing with their forums, which by the time you hear this...
will have changed drastically.
Probably so. But anyway, that's it. If you want to be a part of the show, all you have to do is send us a tweet at In-Game Chat. Send us an email, everyone at ingamechat.net, or you can also send us a voicemail if you'd like. We do check Kevin's Corner also. Voicemails, 2017-INGAME. That's the number, 2017-INGAME. And you can also go to colonyofgamers.com and check out our forums over there if you'd like. So there you go. Enjoy the show. It was yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
I was glancing at Matt's feed. So,
your feed's full of shit.
It was an older post. Huh?
Why is it still on your feed?
Why are you looking at feed stuff?
Why are you looking at like? Why are you looking at 2-day-old stuff? Jesus Christ!
Going down to
that was the last time there was any LucasArts news.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're talking about Monkey Island, which came out today.
Nobody cares. Blacklight came out today.
Yeah, why? That just felt like it came out of nowhere.
It did come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, it came out of 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Where it came out of.
Basically nowhere.
Which is essentially nowhere. I've heard opinions I trust. I just haven't heard enough of them yet, because there's supposed to be a PC version coming available in the coming weeks.
Mm.
Is how they wrote it. So I don't know if I should hold off for that or buy it for the fact that other people might have it. I don't know, $15. Say, you know, it's supposed to be pretty good. But I don't know.
To do another, Scott.
Well, I was trying to find the tweet because James had sent out a tweet today about asking people if anybody had any impressions on it. The only one we got back was Iron Past, who said, it's too much for a tweet, but definitely try the demo. It gives you an hour to play online. And he said he'd post the impressions over on COG.
Hopefully that puts you into the same pool of players as the owners.
Yeah.
Instead of just in a demo-only pool. I just don't have a strong concept of it.
You know, I don't either. I mean, is it
just a multiplayer game?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it just a multiplayer type thing?
Yeah, it's just a multiplayer game.
Hmm.
Which is why it's $15. Which is fine. I mean, it's okay. I just don't. I don't know anything about it. And I know that nobody can really answer it, but I'd like to know if it would just be a better thing to buy on the PC.
That's true, yeah.
Or, you know, if it's going to be something that shows up on the PC and has, because it's a multiplayer only type of doodad, you know, is it going to have mouse acceleration issues that I can't get rid of, or you know, shit like that. Like,
yeah.
The types of developments that make it better on the console, but make it suck on the PC. I don't know. I reckon if I were to buy it, I'd buy it on the console, just because cheesy little shooters like that seem to work really well there. But it looks good, I guess.
We have an email specifically for RJ.
Why don't you let the man off the hook and read the email?
I am. Alex Bobo writes in and says, I got a question for RJ. I'm just curious, and this is purely hypothetical at this point, but in what ways would you adapt as a gamer to this motion control stuff? I ask you specifically because of your famed love for games that make some of us want to slap our grandmothers, as well as fighters, brawlers. Because of the perceived inaccuracy of the motion shit, would you accustom yourself with the move or the wave or whatever the hell? Or would you just simply let it pass by and play controller-based games, which again, we'll assume will be rare, just so I can make my point. I can imagine what Bayonetta, for instance, would be with motion controls, and every time I try to reimagine it, it always feels inferior to a controller. And I can tell you it's not something I'd spend money on, even for a rental. I have an easy enough time looking like a flaming jackass without Sony putting this thing in my hand. So what do you think?
Well,
what are your thoughts on Move?
Motion control I really haven't given too much thought about, especially for some genres, especially a fighter or a brawler. I mean, there's no way I'm going to try to play something as intricate as a Street Fighter or a Blaze Blue or even a Mortal Kombat with a motion control. Mm-hmm. I just don't see myself trying that. And for hard games, the hard games I like are the ones where good level design, enemies that you have to think to get around, nothing simple. For motion controls, it have to be something really special to get me to play it. I mean, just not something I've thought about with the game, type of games I play. And hard games that I like are, if the control is not an issue, I mean, if I try to do something and the controls just aren't there for me, that's when I get frustrated. Like a game like Demon's Souls,
yeah,
you know, really hard game to get through, but the controls are spot on. You know, I have no difficulty with controls playing through that game at all. And that's the type of hard game I enjoy playing through. But if I have to rely on some iffy controls to get through it, I'm going to get frustrated real quick. And yeah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that.
It's that whole argument of, I press that button. You know, except with Move, it's like, no, I totally, you know,
if I want to go left,
I totally did whatever the thing required me to do.
Yeah,
but it didn't register, or something like that. It didn't, you know, come through. I don't know if we've ever asked you this before. I mean, since the Wii is really the only type of motion control out there right now, we can kind of look at and say, well, this is how it's currently being done. What have you? I mean, is there anything on the Wii that you've seen that's like, ooh, I'd really like to play that?
No.
Okay.
No, there hasn't been anything on the Wii.
I kind of expected you to say that, exactly.
The Wii hasn't had anything that that held my interest long.
Because, I mean, you like your really hardcore games, and, you know, and then, of course, your Japanese stuff as well. But anyway, but the hardcore stuff, the really, not necessarily hardcore, but the difficult, the difficulty in the fighting and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the difficulty is at a level where you can't beat this in, like, one sitting, you know, like some you have to... Something you just go through in one playthrough and you're pretty much done with it. You know, I want something that'll have to make me work for it to get to the end of it. You know, something that won't be real easy to get
through. I cannot relate.
What?
I just can't relate with that mindset.
Yeah, well,
I can't.
I really based it on getting my money.
I'm glad it's with you, though. I mean, you've got it. I'm glad we have somebody on the show who can give us that point of view, because I couldn't do it. He also goes on to say, and I also own that X-Files FMV game Strax mentioned. 7 discs on a PC, 4 on a PS1. While I enjoyed it, purely for the story and universe, I have to wonder how the hell that game got into E3. Maybe the bull was out on a maintenance call that morning.
I remember that thing.
Which thing?
The Xbox, I mean the X-Files game.
Yeah.
Those old FMVs, man. Those are...
That was FMV 2.0, man.
Yeah.
I know because the marketing guy told me so.
Well, that was after you said, this is FMV. This is crap. Yeah. And he said, no, it's FMV 2.0.
Yeah. And then we were like, no, man, it's FMV. It sucks. No matter what number you put behind it.
It's the three letters in front of it.
He wasn't too thrilled about that, but he didn't have a good counterpoint either.
Alex goes on to say, he was asking the question about the motion controls because he sees a lot of resistance to the motion control in our community. I noticed the strongest opposition to it tends to come from predominantly PC guys, but as we've seen, the PC has taken a backseat to the consoles for most major publishers. Imagine what Wolf 3D would have been with motion controls, or even Tribes. fuck a bunch of that. He wrote it all together, so I had to fuck a bunch of that. I hate to sound elitist, but with each new iteration, quality of game has historically been traded for quantity of sales. And now the entire concept of gaming consoles is about to change, or so I feel. I have hopes, though, that even that enough of the console guys resist it so that it does not become predominant. The more they try to be inclusive of new consumers, the more exclusive they become. It's a little philosophical. Ooh, big surprise. But the feeling I get is that they're cutting out the guys that they themselves started out as, essentially the PC guys. Your comment about space shooters is a good example of this. It's been adapted to a console hell with Halo. What happened to the days where guys like Newell and some of the independents were the dominant force in the video game industry? It's been poisoned and poisoned, and the motion control thing, to me, is just another layer of arsenic on a fine Reuben sandwich. My thinking is that if the motion control continues to fail, eventually these dollar-eyed geniuses that make these decisions will look back to their roots, I hope. Maybe a majority of gamers these days can't associate with the golden PC game era, but those of us who can, well, listen to yourselves even, all we can do is complain about how hard it is now to the point of entire communities being formed for that very purpose. I used to think, when I first listened to the show, that James was one miserable son of a bitch.
He is.
With time, I see it's not that. It's simply that so much that needs said is negative these days. All I want to do is sit down and spend some time in someone else's well-crafted world, maybe a good story. But constantly, I'm barraged by useless reviews, why this thing sucks, why people I don't agree with say things that apparently influence game design. I don't know how these people got into decision-making positions, but Activision, EA, they need to just go. Perhaps Valve is the means to an end, but even then, the idea of even a benevolent dictator is uncomfortable to me. They've had their time, and they've done some things I really enjoyed, but on the whole, they're antithesis,
yeah, yeah. It's totally a real word.
To Valve. I know. I kept wanting to go antithesis. To Valve, but more bad than good. I check greatest games of all times list rather frequently because it shows me what sort of people publishers have to sell games to. You'll notice that in almost every top whatever list, there are a lot of titles that are of age, but Jesus, they were great. Link to the Past, James? Mm-hmm. Then I look at the comment sections and I hear fucking angels weeping. I actually saw Deus Ex referred to as retro. I had to stare at that sentence for a long minute to understand how or why, and then it hit me. It's an old, by American standards, PC game. Automatically retro, which, as an aside, is why Matt is actually a very important part of the show, in my opinion.
Word.
And why the Matts everywhere else are equally as important. I guess we're the old-timers in gaming in the gaming community. James' Big Brother-like treatment of Matt is an epitome of that. Not that it's in it, that it isn't funny as hell. Sorry, Matt. Maybe independent devs are a solution. I mean, Carmack designed an entire game engine more or less on his own, and Doom went on to revolutionize, I hate that fucking word, it's always bad news, gaming, back when I barely could tie my own shoes. Now we have entire teams of devs, none of which I can associate with like I can people like Carmack. He's an idol of mine in a way, that produce games that generally aren't up to par. And it's getting worse. Currently, the illness seems to be motion controls. It's unnerving to watch my beloved hobby slowly being destroyed by cigar-sucking Kotix and Ridicellos, I guess. What is this? How do you pronounce that name? Whatever. At least we have Newell
for
now.
Don't worry about it.
I don't. I just skip it. Although, as an aside, I really don't look forward to Valve being managed by someone else, but it's eventually inevitable. Apologies for the long email and somewhat scatterbrained organization of it, but I've come to trust you guys' thoughts and opinions, and if there was anyone that could understand the perpetual hell my mind is coming from, it's in-game chat. After all, it was listening to you that inspired the thoughts relayed in this email. Anyway, that's enough typing for an alcoholic at 4 a.m. Looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah. Hey, James, can you imagine, like, skiing in tribes using motion control, you know, Kinect?
No.
Yeah.
It's really the end. No, that's...
That's why I'm not sold on any of the motion control stuff. I mean, unless it's a certain type of game. But, you know, just for, like, in general gaming, you know...
Well, a lot of the points he made in that email were things that we've been batting around for off and on for the past week or so.
Yeah.
We've been talking about, you know, a lot of the old guard that made a lot of those old great games, like Deus Ex and System Shock 2 and whatnot, and you know, they've even the guys that made those have kind of sold the ideas that they came up with down the river with and Warren Spector did it with Invisible War.
Yeah.
You know. market tested.
Did you ever play? Did any guy play that one?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
it wasn't the worst game in the world. I mean, it wasn't. It wasn't a dreadful piece of shit. I didn't like it.
Yeah,
and he. A lot of the hate for him stems from the fact that he got too far out in front of that game. He didn't just make the game and present it to the player base and then sort of have discussions about it. He got out in front of it very early because people were very angry about what they were seeing. They knew what a we had already seen what Deus Ex looked like on a console because they had done
The PS1 version.
A PS1 port.
Was it 2?
Was it 2?
Yeah, I think it was 2.
Yeah, no, it was 2. Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. That's totally stupid. It was 2. That wasn't exactly Deus Ex, but was pretty close. And he was like, good for you. Glad you're playing this. Not my style of thing. I really
it might get some people who never would have played it, a chance to, experience
it. Was kind of cumbersome on the PS2 also.
And they hadn't really figured out first-person shooters back then. But to see that Invisible War just, really clung to that idea instead of what it, we've been over this and the history is out there and it's observable
and
digestible, but the problem is he got out in front of it, so that was the that was the trouble with him, and everything he's done ever since has not been basically it comes down to this, and this was something we touched on before. There's so many of these very old games coming along on their 10th anniversaries. That design philosophy of 10 years ago was where we expected games to go. It made total sense. They were the best ways of doing things at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They represented a level of expertise, a level of, if not polish, then they represented an experiment, an effort to do as much and to push the boundaries as much as possible. And to widen the walls and kind of push the skybox out to its greatest possible width, literally and figuratively speaking. And it was really soon after that, really soon after the top of the millennium, that we realized that the consoles were actually going to become the dominant feature and that all design would have to conform to their constraints. And that's what it is. And maybe for a lot of people that doesn't mean much. I don't think that means nearly as much to Scott or to RJ as it does to us, because that was a period of time when we were all more heavily, the PC was life.
It took me forever to get a PS2 just because, I got my PC.
And I did like it, but we saw the entire landscape shrink down to something that would fit inside a box, a little tiny Xbox, and that was unpleasant.
Yeah.
Inspector specifically got out, like James said, in front of it, and said, we've made these decisions because they are that it makes it a better game.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with design constraints.
It was a game of smaller ideas and more acceptable ideas, which makes it, a better mass market game. But it's very arguable as to whether it made it a better game.
Yeah.
It's basically said all of those things that you're complaining about, that you liked in the first one that aren't in the second one, well, those weren't really what made it a good game. But
How much of that stuff can I cut away until there's nothing left?
And
the inventory didn't make it a good game. The art being so heavily RPG didn't make it a good game. Put all of its broken mechanics aside, right? Because it wasn't the state of the art exactly. I mean, it was very experimental, or at least that type of game was. And it didn't function perfectly, but it was doing some interesting shit, And what people like to say is that if you take away all that interesting shit, take this away. Peel that away. The large environments isn't what made it a good game, and tons of branching dialogue didn't make it a good game, and inventory management didn't make it a good game. Well, what made a fucking good game? And the box?
Yeah.
How far do you want to peel away
until there's nothing
its pieces
left.
Parts? Do you wanna cut away at it until it's a brain stem and a spine, Maybe. Hanging there in a jar? No, dude, it's okay to say that those elements were a part of it. And so
it was the gestalt of the experience
Yes. And again, that's fine. We've all been over that. But to see if we can recognize that the game itself was supposed to represent the future, and it clearly didn't, and that's something that makes so many of us cranky. We're dealing with it. We understand. And things are improving, and the consoles catch up a little bit. But if we can say that the games themselves represented what we expected of the future, then the men who made them are what we expected
of the people
who of the people who would populate the future.
Yeah.
And they, I don't want to say they failed us, but that's...
Well, that just hasn't become the case.
Yeah, it just isn't the case. They want to make smaller things. They want to make games for mobile phones. They want to make Facebook games. If you really listen to them in interviews, they sound exhausted. They sound like bored artists. And that's, I suppose, a pretty truthful thing. But none of them want to be making Deus Exes or System Shock 2s. They don't really want to be making it. Maybe it's because there isn't a place in the world for it. There's no publisher who will allow them to do it. And they aren't independently... They're not Gabe Newell rich, so they can't do what they want. You know, maybe that's the case. Maybe it's just that they've done that. They viewed it as a dead end because the market viewed it as a dead end, and it's therefore not worth their effort or time. So now they want to make mobile phone games, and they want to make indie-level games, and they want to make casual experiences. And to a one, they will say, I want to do something that connects with more people. And I will sound like a... This is going to make me sound like a hideous grognard, but I don't like that. I don't want to participate in something that necessarily connects me to more people. I don't mind being connected to people in certain communities and through certain pathways, you know, certain channels, I guess. But just not in general.
Yeah.
And if you're making something, what you're telling me is, I need everything I do to have mass market appeal. I want 35 million people to buy my iPhone.
You know what this
reminds
me of?
And
I don't remember what it was. It was probably on NPR, but they were talking about the singer Jewel, and about how after her first...
I heard that same thing.
Yeah, after her first big album, she made like $12 million off of it. She said the best thing about that was that she now had all the money she needed, that she never had to have another hit again.
Yeah.
She could just make the music she wanted to make. There's no analog for that in the gaming industry.
Yeah, it doesn't.
If you have a great hit, congratulations. You get to survive to try to have another great hit.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
And it better be a great hit the next one you do.
But see, and that's another problem, is the line is always being moved. And the line is apparently different for everyone. As a perfectly useful segue, and I really wish I'd had a chance to play the game. It has not gone on sale yet, which is where I will buy it. And this is sort of a well-known thing, but the Alpha Protocol, they came out and said, no sequel. Now, I feel real bad, and I can't speak definitively about that game. It's an interesting subject. Because the opinions are really divided. You know, the reviews were horrible. But a lot of the user opinions seem very mixed. A lot of people consider it to be just a tragic waste of code and hard drive space. Just a terrible, terrible abortion of a game, you know. I mean, we even knew that. We even knew that... that it was the Obsidian just totally screwed it up, and that may be the case because they're spread awful thin right now. But I mean, there were a lot of people that seemed really positive about it and seemed to be having an awful lot of fun with it. And like, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't actually get an opportunity to live a long life and see whether or not it's good in the long term and justifiable, or the money would be justifiable to make a sequel that could improve upon all the mistakes of the original. One of their developers kind of had his anonymous scream all over the internet about how they had been pushed around by marketing and management.
Mm-hmm.
About how the game had been run poorly. And
that was a Sega published game.
Yes,
right?
It was a Sega published game.
I remember hearing things back in December about how like hands-on Sega was and
far
interfering in the process.
Well, because I think it was originally scheduled to come out in November.
Yes.
And it got pushed.
They started... One of the things that, in all fairness to them, as a development house, they seem to have simply been maneuvered into developing and designing for bullet points on the back of a box instead of what the game actually was. Again, I can't speak to that. I haven't played it. Opinions I respect suggest that on the PC, if it ever sees a performance patch, if it ever sees the patch that's supposed to fix the most heinous of the performance issues, then the community can take care of the rest.
Yeah.
And then in another year, it will be, and it's apparently the you can mod it sufficiently.
All right.
That in another year, having it on the PC at $20 on a Steam sale will be really great. But see, that game never gets an opportunity, you know. Right. So where was the line for that game? The line for that game was determined by who's publishing it, what else that person is publishing it, who's developing it, and how much other shit they're working on, how much it cost, how many different release windows it passed by. Like, you can't even figure the fucking line out, and you usually don't know where it is until you've fallen short and been declared a failure or passed it by.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, meanwhile, like, a game that virtually nobody has talked about, which I'm, like, totally fucking jumping up and down excited about having played, Metro 2033, gets its sequel. And, like, outside of very specific threads on very specific forums, like, that motherfucker gets no play whatsoever. Or there's always the ever-present Two Worlds. You remember that? It was like kind of a piece of shit Oblivion clone.
The game.
Not exactly, but like...
Yeah, and it comes at Two Worlds 2.
Yeah, and it gets a sequel, and it's like, really?
Well, we were the same way when Just Cause 2 was announced. We're like,
Yeah, and another thing we have to get to in a second. So, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is... yeah, I mean, I like waxing philosophical in this, but like, there's no conclusion to be had. You can't reduce this down to something that makes sense.
You can't predict it by anything.
I mean, I appreciate somebody finally at least recognizing, like, I'm not just an angry bitch just to be an angry bitch. I'm not. I don't like that. And in my
you
world,
don't want
to
be. You want to enjoy this.
Yeah, I'm generally fairly optimistic kind of guy. Like, I tend towards, you know, like...
skepticism?
Yeah, skeptical, like, realistic type of stuff. But on the show, like, this is what I do, man. I'm just like... I wanted this and expected this, and I'm not being petty. I've simply recognized whatever it is I'm talking about. I personally recognized it as being better or superior or worthy of time and effort, and it gets none. And the result is to loop all the way back around, you know, motion control.
Yeah.
That is imperfect and imprecise and whatever. I'm kind of done bitching about the motion control until the shit comes out and I put my hands on it anyway. Or wave my hands in front of it, whichever one. You know, I just because I don't know any. Like I don't know, man. Whatever. Nobody knows. Yeah, I mean, like I was. I didn't play Metro until this sale. I picked it up in the THQ pack. And so I mean, while we're there,
how'd you
make out?
Oh god!
You won't even build a fucking PC. You just buy a bunch of shit to play on the PC you might one day build.
Because
I see you buy little indie shit every now and then. I'm like, oh, well, maybe he plays that on his box, you know? And then
you and I need to talk after this is over.
Yeah, he was telling me about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, it's time. It's time to go back and play on the PC again. It's time. The consoles are like they're winded. That's it. They've reached their top speed. I'm not saying nothing interesting will happen there anymore, but, like, it's time again in the cycle. And, like, whatever. There's no new hardware available from them. They're all going the motion route. Yeah. We're still going to get good shit on the consoles. I'm not poo-pooing there. I'm just saying that, like...
Did you see the first hint that that Sony's involved in developing their next one?
Yeah. It just doesn't surprise me. We knew that this would... if they weren't going to talk about it at E3, then we're going to have to start hearing rumors and then hopefully credible rumors.
Yeah. And I know we've done this, like, man, I don't know, half a dozen times now, but I can never remember, like, how long it generally is from the first whiff of a rumor that a developer's like, yeah, they came and talked to us about it, to, like, an announcement and then a release.
Yeah, it's like 2 years.
That's what I want to say, but I don't know if that's accurate.
Yeah, I don't know.
We only do this once every 5 years or so, you know?
It's tough.
I don't really remember.
Well, regardless,
but it'd have to be at least 2 years from now, if not more.
Well, here's, maybe. As an intro, this is something I want to put out there. The last time all of us together were playing in the PC world, it didn't work like it does now.
There was no Steam.
Yeah.
Steam did not exist.
Not as a distribution platform, anyway. It was basically a
verification tool.
Matchmaking service. Yeah. It wasn't actually...
And strictly for...
A couple of things.
Half-Life.
Yeah.
Well, And
Counter-Strike. That was bit. There was no
TF2.
Yeah. Day of Defeat.
At the time, those were all... Those weren't even... At the time, I don't even think those had been officially annexed and distributed yet. I think those were simply still mods running on top of the other shit. Like that, I'm still playing Day of Defeat as a mod back then, and not as a
actual game.
I tell you exactly.
That's a little further back because that was pre-source.
I can tell you exactly when. I mean, we built that shit in. We built that stuff in the summer of 2003.
Yeah, god damn it, that's older than I thought it was. Because I remember you had already had it for a while when City Heroes came out. You already had it for almost a year.
Oh yeah, and City Heroes was what, 2005?
The next year, no,
2004.
It was 2004.
That's right.
Yeah. Spring of 2004 is April. Regardless. Say it again. It's time. Like, you look at this fucking sale that they had over the last couple of weeks. Two handfuls worth of shit that a bunch of assholes could get together and buy cheap and play.
Yeah.
You know,
Borderlands, and you could do the
4-pack.
You could do the 4-pack with that on the discount.
Yeah,
which made like $7. You know, for four people to buy.
And there's, tons of like solo, single player level shit. I mean, it's just.
You grab Ghostbusters, I saw.
I grabbed so much shit.
$4, I think, is how much it was for sale.
Ghostbusters was $4. I was like, man, $4. And I played that shit like right. That was like, I think, the first thing I bought out of the sale.
I think it was because I remember seeing that. And I was like, motherfucker bought Ghostbusters. Yeah, $4. I've got it on the 360. That's why I didn't pick it up. But it was tempting for me just to get it anyway. Because
I played it on the 360. And I was like, I don't like this. And so I was like, whatever, man. Play on PC. I played for like 2.5 hours.
Because it was $4.
No, because it was actually a hell of a lot more fun than it was on the console. Bitch controlled the way it should. Was pretty, like, looked better than the console. So, whatever. I mean, it was like a PC version of a thing. And I was like, okay, this feels like a console game, but it works. Like, it's tight and it's clean and it's fast. And it hasn't given me any shit whatsoever. $4 well spent. That was like the first thing on the sale. I think I tallied out at the end at about, I think just shy of $150. And I walked away with, not counting little bits and bytes of DLC, which none of which cost more than like $1.50.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're where I was for the Christmas sale, man.
I wasn't in a PC place at that time. And I'm...
Well, I mean, obviously I wasn't either. My whole thing was just like, damn,
you were just devouring the sale. Yeah. I wasn't because I wasn't in the mood. But I'm in a much better PC headspace lately. And so there was so much stuff that I didn't already have for one reason or another. And God, I bought a ton of shit, dude. I mean, about a dozen games, I guess. For about $150, so I made out pretty well. I mean, I bought, I already had Shadow of Chernobyl, but I bought Call of Pripyat. I bought.
So when you do that, does it do like a, you already had this, so do you want to give this to someone else?
No, that's all determined by the publisher.
Okay.
Yeah, mine, I did that with.
I bought the piecemeal. You know, I bought Call of Pripyat and, what the fuck was the second one? That nobody really liked, but I bought it anyway.
Clear Skies.
It was like $5. I bought that because there's a lot of like really positive mod news and stuff available around that. But I bought that. I bought the whole THQ pack. And I that was like my strategic buy of the week because I wanted Metro. I decided I really wanted to play Metro. I'd read a bit about it. I had come across it to some degree. I was going to play it on the 360, but didn't. And I was like, you know, this is another one of those games that seems to pop out as either like a love it or hate it kind of reaction.
The amazing thing about that is, for the cost of that game on a console,
I got about 20 games.
You got 20 games, yeah. Including that game.
Yes, that was why I was looking at it. I was like, well, what in this list don't I have that I definitely would really like to have?
Yeah.
What are they going to do if every single one of those things goes to sale piecemeal? In the end, most of them did. And then there's, in the pack, there was maybe three or four junk titles that I'll probably never even install. But, you know, what I'm still going to count that into the value.
Oh, totally.
If I had bought everything I wanted to individually piecemeal, I think I would have come out at the exact same amount, $50. So, because they did eventually put Metro up for sale for $25. But I bought the whole pack, and I was perfectly happy. Installed a bunch of shit. Yeah, so I bought the THQ pack, and it came with the Company of Heroes and all of its stuff. It came with Dawn of War and Dawn of War 2 and all of their stuff. Titan Quest Gold, which I had never gotten around to buying. Mm-hmm. A bunch of stuff like that. For a lot of people, maybe not a value. For somebody like me who just never bought some of these things that were clearly worth it. Yeah. But I bought... I don't even know where that came from, man. I really wanted to see Metro. And I just gotten it in my head from what I had read that I wanted to see it. And it was really funny because it was something that had a lot of mixed opinions. And I fucking loved that game. I loved it. Played through it in two sittings, like two separate days. It was only about 12 hours. Until anybody gets around to feeling like they would buy it and play it on the PC, I think it would be really great if somebody rented it and played it on the 360. I'm just... Because it was... I was really surprised by it. Because, you know, the only time we ever gave it was when we talked about the video from, like, a year ago. And it was like, look at my Fallout 3 and Stucker, you know? And it was like, no, you're all morons. It's not like Fallout 3. It's just post-apocalyptic. That doesn't mean it's like Fallout 3.
Yeah.
But it was... I had a ton of complaints about it, you know? And it actually had a lot of flaws, most of which I couldn't necessarily disagree with, but there's a tremendous amount of fun with it. Just absolutely one of the most killer atmospheres. The story was meh. It was fine, but it was just, you know, not a great motivator. And it wasn't scary, but it was definitely unsettling in a lot of ways. Aggravating that you didn't get to see more of what you wanted to see. That was really what you're left with at the end, was like, I want more of this. I want like three times more of this shit. I want to see more of these areas and be a part of more of these environments and study this world. You know, they always show you an overlay map of the Moscow Metro. Mm-hmm. But you have to take a very specific path through it. And it's a path determined by circumstance. It's not totally arbitrary. But it just makes you angry because you want to see more of what's going on. You spend all of your time in this desolation underground and in a really, really hostile environment above ground. And it is a shooter, and a lot of people complained about the shooting mechanics. I personally thought they were fine, you know. The mechanism for creating a scarcity of ammo was not fully realized. I didn't think that was particularly... I mean, because even if you got sort of loose with your inventory, you still had an awful lot left at the end, and the idea was that you shouldn't. But regardless, I loved the motherfucker. I thought it was an amazing amount of fun. And I just realized how hungry I was for a really good experience like that on the PC. So... I bit down really hard on just about every other thing that came along in that deal. And it also kind of like flipped me to buying the other Stalker games. I mean, I knew what Clear Sky was when I went in, but again, it was super cheap. But I did buy Call of Pripyat because of what else I had read about. I still haven't had a chance to play that, but I played to the shit. I just could not put Metro down. Absolutely loved it. Even though if the damn thing just had a quick save feature, it would have been twice as brilliant. But even with autosaves, it was really an awful lot of fun. Yeah. And I picked up Just Cause on Just Cause 2.
Did you pick it up Just Cause?
No, I did not. I picked it up because I fucking kept reading about it.
Yeah.
And, well, at the end of last week's show, when we were out in the parking lot,
yeah,
I had said that. I was like, I really hope Just Cause 2 goes down.
Yeah.
And, you know, it became, on the very last day, it became the daily deal. For
25
bucks, yeah.
Yeah.
And the DLC. Off of a brand new game. Yeah.
And all the cheesy little DLC, like 50 cents or something.
The game's totally worth $25.
Especially what the mod community's done to it. Man, every video I've seen for the mod community.
I had no interest in playing it on the console. I was just like, nah, What it's, I don't care, you know.
I lost the entrance once. The entrance interest once I saw what the people on PC were doing to it.
But
I
like,
was like, that's, I want that one.
I heard so much good about it on the PC. I just didn't. I didn't care what people said about it on the console. I was just like, I'm just. I don't know. I just don't want to go there. But what was being said about it on the PC, particularly in terms of the game's fucking brilliant. Now go over to JustCause2Mods.com and make it double extra brilliant. And so I got it, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to trust the vast amount of opinions I've heard. And I picked it up, and man, I was fucking blown away by it. Like, I know how games like that work on consoles, but, you know, I don't want to misrepresent it when I say it looks really good on the PC. It's obviously a game designed to be that kind of game. It isn't going to look like Metro 2033 does. You know, it's not going to have DirectX 11 shaders and lighting and shit like that. But for what it is, I was like, this looks astonishingly good. And, like, everything turned up to max, and, like, my rig just spanks it all over the place. Like, fucking...
cool.
The worst I've seen, I think, is somewhere, you know, in the 40s or 50s in terms of frame rate. Like, just runs like a goddamn dream and is an enormous amount of fun to play. And I was like, yeah, this is kind of shit. Like, so much better with a mouse and keyboard.
Hmm.
Like, really hate settling for a controller on stuff like this. I really, really do. But I've loved it. I've played maybe, I don't know, 12, 15 hours of that shit since I picked it up. Thrown on a handful of mods that are the kind of thing you'll get right out of the gate that, like, fix what are perceived as glaring errors in the design. Not things that are overpowered. You know, you don't want to break the game before you've played the game.
Yeah.
But quality of life issues I've already thrown on. It's a fucking easily modifiable game. Exactly the kind of thing you want to play around with if you're interested in a moddable game. So I'm already just so unbelievably happy with what I got out of that sale. And I've got fucking Civ 4 and The Witcher and Call of Pripyat.
Have you had a chance to play Witcher yet?
A couple hours. I mean, in the midst of the whole sale, like, I didn't have a whole lot of time with a lot of things.
Yeah.
I love it, you know. It's going to be one of the next things I do as soon as I can put Just Cause down. The fuck else, man? I got a whole bunch of other shit, too. It became really, really hard not to buy things. And some of them were the small indie deals for like $2 or $4. I was like, I don't even know what your name is. you're $2.
Yeah, last couple of things I got off of Steam was, I think, like I mentioned last week.
You get the Telltale pack or the LucasArts pack?
No.
What'd you pick up?
Freaking Serious Sam 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
Got that. The Moonbase Alpha, which, you know, free.
Yeah, that was yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
Did you play any of it?
Not yet.
Yeah. I played about an hour.
I just downloaded it, and, you know, Monkey Island 2.
Right.
I had that pre-ordered, so, from about, like, a week or so ago.
Did you miss this sale?
I did.
Did you not look at Steam for 2 fucking weeks?
Yeah, basically.
For, like, 10 days, 2 weeks? Really?
Yeah.
What a fucking...
I had family stuff that I was trying to take care of. I know. Well, and I'm kicking myself in the ass now because...
Yes.
I really want, you know, Just Cause 2. It's something I've been really interested in.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, I'm not $50 interested in it. Yeah. You know?
I will tell you this. If it means anything to you, and I'm sorry because it can't help the fact that it was $25 like 3 days ago, it's worth $50.
Okay.
In my opinion, is absolutely worth $50 on the PC. Not just because it's fun and runs really well, but because the mod community is going to keep you interested for a while.
Yeah, you'll get here.
And I saw that, dude, and I was like, I specifically checked your games list. And I was like, okay, I saw he just bought Just Cause 2. And I texted him, and I was like, it's nice to see you planning for the future, because I know what you're doing here.
Yeah, I think I was asleep when you had texted me.
This is not something that you're ever going to play on any of your existing hardware.
I tried to play it on the 360, and it was just...
Oh, no. I meant the PC version.
Yeah, I couldn't... I don't know. It just didn't hold me. I think because all I kept thinking about was like, yeah, but they did this over on the PC with these mods. I can do this and this and this. And, you know, it felt... I felt constricted.
You can, let's see, what have they done?
Oh, Jesus, what haven't they fucking done?
Let's see, they made it so your grappling hook works out to 2 miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
they made it so that any of the like the agent plane that you can buy, the black market plane, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You fly it underwater.
I wish Steam remembered my birthday.
Yeah, I know. I've bitched about that a lot. It's still age-gated even when you're logged in.
Yeah.
There's the one that gives you more than just two things you can hook to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The multiple...
Yeah, you can have multiple
anchors with, yeah, your, with, you, with your thing. Just tons of shit. Like, none of that I've played around with. Oh, there's one that you really will like. It's a Superman mod.
Oh, nice.
To where your guy just, like, flies around. And he's just like... Whoosh! Like flying around like you're a jet.
Yeah.
I know the game's been out for a minute, and I just was like, I'm not interested until I actually got my hands on a copy that was perfect for me. We had said a little while back, we were sort of agonizing over, it was actually when I was bitching about Singularity, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to be a couple of people out there who actually liked the game, but I got no time for Singularity. Not when there's other things that are a hell of a lot more fun. Just Cause 2 is what you do when you don't try to balance a game around your idea of difficulty or fun.
Mm-hmm.
That grappling hook is bullshit, man. This is stupidest, most unrealistic piece of shit in the world. It's stupid. Like, that thing makes no sense. It's ridiculous.
You can grapple yourself up into the air.
Yeah.
And then, like... You know,
I can jump out of an airplane.
Open your little glider thing and just grapple fly.
Yeah. I can jump out of an airplane, and then 50 feet before I hit the ground, I can grapple the ground and pull myself to it, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I don't give a shit.
Didn't that actually get you down quicker and, like, safer?
Well, no. I mean, you can't grapple from a major height, but you can... It doesn't keep you safer. It's like...
Okay.
It's kind of like... It's kind of like Bugs Bunny stepping off the end of the piece of rock that's falling right before it hits the ground.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, it kind of negates the physics of the fall. That's all it does. But these dudes have clearly developed a game around the concept of having fun with it. Around unrealistic concepts that are indefensible in any regard except for fun. And it still manages to be perfectly balanced with its surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like I was doing, like, in the first mission, I was doing stunt riding on the hood. You know, his dude's like trying to escape, and I'm like, this is silly. Like, this is totally silly. And I'd read a thread of, like, fun things to do with the grapple hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you, like, the cars that are chasing you, you, like, hit one of them and then quickly anchor him to the side of the bridge.
Yeah, and
it just flies off the bridge. That's so stupid. It's the biggest bunch of bullshit.
It's so stupid, but you could do it for hours.
And it doesn't, it's not like it's an element of the game that breaks the overall game. Everything is balanced around what is clearly a fun core of gameplay. And like I said, it has some inconsistencies, which are very quickly modded out and smoothed out into a brilliant experience. But the first time I, like, jumped on a fucking airplane and stunt mounted a goddamn airplane while the bitch is flying through the air at, like, 600 miles an hour.
The jets.
The big airliner.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was like, I gotta get to the other side of the island. I'm gonna go, like, steal a plane.
Yeah.
And I jumped up on top of an airliner as it was taking off. And I was like, oh, that was pretty fucking... Hey. I was just riding it. I was like, well, this guy's going where I want to go. And then as soon as he, like, stopped going the direction I wanted, I'd go in and I'd pull him out and I'd throw him out. And
mm-hmm.
It was totally retarded, but hilariously fun. I was like,
yeah,
man,
I had a lot of fun showing Becky that. I was like, hey, Becky, watch this. And I climb out, you know, on top of the nose of my jet or whatever and hang on.
Yeah.
She's like, that's retarded. I'm like, yeah, I know.
But it's great.
It's fun.
Nobody saw this and said, that's retarded, we have to fix it or change it. They said, this is great, let's make sure that it fits in the game.
Let's make sure we put that on the back of the box.
Yeah. It was just an amazing...
What was even better was I hit some sort of glitch doing that, like, the second or third time, where, like, I wasn't, like, grappled onto it anymore. Like, I was just standing on the jet while it flew at 600 miles an hour or whatever.
What, you mean standing on top of it?
Yeah.
That's not a glitch.
No,
you can do that.
No,
you
that's
just
like
on top of it.
Huh. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's
nice.
I was, like, surfing on a jet. It's like,
because, like, the first two times I did it, I had, like, my guy was holding on with his grapple gun or whatever.
Yeah.
But okay.
No, you can actually, every time I've grappled onto a jet, I've just landed on the top of it.
Okay.
The only thing you'll stay underneath, at least in my experience, is, like, if there's a
helicopter,
a guard on it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll grapple underneath it, and then you have to swing on the top or up on the front.
Actually, I had been flying it, and then, like, you know, got out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
okay.
I was, like, hanging on that way, and I guess that's probably holding the button to hang on. I let go, I'd fall off. So I guess one time I let go and I just, you know, stood.
Yeah, there's another command. There's another button for doing that. I don't know. Left alt for me. I don't know what the hell it is for you.
Yeah, too bad Steam. I'm looking at Steam. They don't have all the DLC as a pack that I see.
They didn't have it as a pack before. They just had it all.
It's like, you know, buy all.
But no, they did have it. They did where you add could buy. DLC you could add all the DLC.
Yeah.
It's just a single button click that adds it all.
Have you been up to the airship casino?
I haven't landed on it yet. I was like, I don't want to go up here yet. Like, I fly through it every
now and then. It was towards the end. Like, I think after I had encountered, like, the, you know, machine gun, the Uzi ninjas.
I hate those motherfuckers. I just got to those bitches yesterday.
Okay, yeah. It was after that, and I just decided to go dick around. And I was like, well, I got to go see what's up there.
Yeah.
And, like, man, you know, helicopter's slow as fuck.
The helicopter's really a pain in the ass.
So I tried to, like, jet my way over there. And it's, I wasn't going to have it. It's too fast. I go by it, you know, too quick. Or
in
too
a jet?
Far. Yeah.
Oh.
So.
You've played 11 hours of that fucking game.
Have I?
So I ended up getting the helicopter and, like, flying for, I don't know, however long it was, 15, 20 minutes or whatever.
There's a helicopter right near where it patrols.
Well, I hadn't been in that area. Like, it was off somewhere where I hadn't really done anything, so I didn't know where any of the shit was.
Yeah, it's kind of down there in the southeast. That's where one of the groups of revolutionaries, that's like the third mission they have you do.
In, like, the northeast.
I don't know. Well, wherever, I don't think so. But I could have it turned around in my head. Yeah. The point is, it's right near where those motherfuckers have their rockets where they were going to launch satellites into orbit. And they want you to destroy the rockets. That was like the second or third mission for one of the groups of revolutionaries. And in that base, there's a helicopter and a jet. Hmm. And it's like right by
that. I did that mission, but I don't remember the helicopter or jet.
Yeah, there's helicopters up on the big thing, and there's a jet in one of the two, because there's those two little things that look like whatever's, like little airstrips. But there's a Harrier jet.
Oh, too late now. I already took a 15-minute ride to get there in a helicopter.
Yeah, yeah. No, I fly through it all the time. Yeah. Like, if I'm going there to pick up a jet, I'll kind of go over and look at it, but I haven't bothered to hop out and do anything yet. I wonder how it plays on the console, because I can be very, very fast and active with my grappling on the PC.
It's pretty good.
I mean, I imagine it would be. Yeah. But
although there was one time when I was up there, I was grappling underneath it to get to an area you can only get underneath it, and I fucked up and I fell.
Nice.
But that was a really fun fall.
Yeah. It's a really lovely game. I'm glad the sale came along, because having no love for the first one,
mm-hmm.
And just not being in the mood to play it on the console, I wouldn't have seen it otherwise. But I love the shit out of it. You know, I really, really like it. It's an extremely fun game, and
all the downloadable content for the game was also half off, which right now at full price it's 99 cents. So you can imagine 50 cents per piece, and there's a lot of it there, and it's, you know,
you get the whole thing, all the DLC for $9.
No, we paid like $4.50.
But now
you gotta be on this shit, man, because it's not like it takes a lot of time to buy it. Yeah. It's like, this is the new impulse buy, and I bought an enormous amount of shit that I didn't necessarily need. But I swear to God, I can't remember the last time I was happier. Like, it's excellent time to have a PC rig put together. The more people who do it, the better, I guess. I mean, whatever. Shit always goes in cycles. I just hope you guys all sort of get back into it. But that shit, yeah. I wish I had been playing it alongside of the rest of you so I could talk about it at the time. But, what, 11 hours?
Fuck yeah.
Dude, I'm going to probably spend like 60 hours on that motherfucker.
I'm sure. I picked up one of those indie games called Shatter.
I did not get Shatter.
No, I got that. I got Red Orchestra.
Okay, I already
got
that.
Lots of that stuff. On the 22nd, which I think is outside of this sale, but I picked up Deus Ex, the two. It was, I guess it was that 10-year sale.
That was a day-long sale. It was a one-day sale.
I think it was like $250 for both the games.
I bought that.
And I picked that up. Thief Deadly Shadows.
Yes,
I bought that. I need to pick that one. I have it on disc, but I need to get it on Steam.
It was on sale, by the way, for like $2.50. Or $4.50 or something
like that. PB Winterbottom, I got it, was, you know, it was $2 and it was on sale. And I played the demo of it on Xbox Live Arcade. And then I got Killing Floor and then Just Cause 2 with all of its DLC. And then on the last day, I went through every single category.
Yeah.
And just looked and to see if there was anything I wanted to pick up. I got the Defense Grid map packs that were on sale. And I picked up Crash Time 2 and Crash Time 3. I don't know a damn thing about them. The trailer looked well good enough that I could be like, I might enjoy that, but at, you know, $2.50 for your sequel and then like $4 for your third game that came out, I'll pick that up. Oh, and Beyond Good and Evil. I picked that.
Oh, okay.
Because that was on sale.
Sorry, I picked up Borderlands and all of its stuff. I got bit by that a little bit. I was sort of...
I wasn't sure because I thought I remember hearing about how the PC didn't work very well or something.
It was
like
fixed.
That.
I don't want to say like super fixed, but you know, you have to dig in a little bit and do some modifications. Mm. But it works. And a lot of new people picked it up. There were a lot of people that hadn't gotten into it before. But I bought that in all of the DLC as well.
I was actually playing Borderlands last night.
Oh yeah?
Playing through it, you know, some more.
And I haven't played it at all on the PC, so I'm kind of I'll get in there and tweak it.
I'd look forward then to actually playing it on PC.
Yeah, I'll get kind of excited about doing that. I had some problems on the console. There were times on the console when I was not having fun.
Yeah.
I felt extraordinarily confined by the narrow FOV.
Hmm.
And that doesn't always leap out at me on console games, but on that one it did. And I got to the point where, because of that, I was really kind of miserable when we were playing co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like some fucker was always in my way. Like one of you guys was always standing right in front of me, and I felt really, really constrained. And I had a feeling that that same problem wouldn't bug me as much on the PC version.
It was fun, though, because that was the last game we got to play with Kevin.
Yeah.
Or the last game we've
played.
Last game you played with Kevin.
That's true, yeah. That's.
Do you have any idea of what kind of character, what class...
I played the soldier on the console, on the 360 version.
Yeah.
I have no idea if I necessarily need to stick with that. I liked it.
Reroll? I've been playing as Malachi.
Well, I have to reroll.
Yeah.
Because I'm playing on a different platform.
But, I mean, like, you know what I mean. But I've been playing as Malachi, you know, sniper.
And yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, sure. Who played that on the... You played that. You played the bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Always played the bitch.
Man. He always plays the bitch.
And Kevin was also a soldier. Spec different. Nobody
did the brute. The knuckle boy. Whatever.
It just looked boring. I don't want to punch shit. Or shoot things.
Because the guns are awesome.
The guns are great. It was a lot of fun. I think I grabbed a couple other things maybe, but like Flotilla. I grabbed Flotilla. That was fun.
I sent out a tweet asking what, you know, some of our listeners had bought, and one of our listeners, I think that's just a bunch of letters thrown together. Chow, I'll just say that. She says, I spent entirely too much money on games I'll likely never play.
You and Scott both.
Yeah, you know? I go, and well, shit, man, I can show you right here, since you're looking at I can go to games and I can show you all the shit I have.
I was going to say a minute ago, I went and I looked at your stuff because I remember how you were the last time we built you a PC. And there were specifically two things I wanted to see. I saw that you had Just Cause and I wanted to make sure that you had picked up the Crysis pack.
Oh, dude, I picked that up at the Christmas sale. Yeah, only for the fact that the DeLorean mod somebody had made.
And I wanted to make absolutely sure that you had picked all of that stuff up because I was like, in my head, I knew... If we get Scott back into a computer and hand him just a few games that are heavily, heavily modded, he'll do exactly what he did when Max Payne was out. He will have an infinite amount of playtime.
Oh, wow. So, Moonbase Alpha is in my games, but I never bought it. That's interesting.
Well, it's free.
Yeah, it's interesting that they'll just throw all the free games into your shit.
Yeah.
Because that's cool. That makes more sense now, because I'm seeing games where I'm like, I don't remember buying that. What the fuck? There's Smash Ball. I didn't buy Smash Ball, but it must be free. Oh, God, I got so many in there that I haven't played. Anyway, back to the tweets here. Ravenlock said he picked up Alpha Protocol when it was on sale.
Yeah, I kind of wish I'd done that now. But when was that? Was that on this? Was that a part of this sale? I thought it was a previous sale.
It may not have been. You know, I don't even know if it was part of the sale. I think it was just there, and he picked it up on PC.
Okay.
I don't actually think it was discounted.
I had thought that it had.
That game came out the first of this month, so I don't think. Or not
first
of
last month.
First of last month. Yeah. Okay. So I don't think.
I think it'll hit a sale pretty soon, just because of. You know.
But yeah, he got that. He says better than the reviews are giving it credit for.
Yeah, I trust his opinion on that.
I do. Global Agenda, which he says is meh. He got two older Prince of Persia's, Thief 3 and XCOM. He picked up several of the great deals, Trine, Mass Effect 2, Red Faction Guerrilla, Beat Hazard, and some others he had already had from the previous Oh My God sales.
He pointed me toward the updated Thief 3 graphics as well.
Yes. Yeah.
The only thing left about that game that's still somewhat troubling is widescreen. It's tricky to get widescreen to work because of how the game. You can do it. There's a little shit that you can execute, but it only works when you're starting new games. And it works, and the control's fine. I mean, it's great. You know, but particularly after you add the new textures. But
how hard was it to find the new textures? Just search?
No, I just went to the link he gave me.
Oh. I'll have to get that.
This is the pack. It's not like some random pack. If you look for the three textures, you know, or for what it's worth, you know, they're not bastions of critical information. But for little things like that, there's just enough activity on each game's individual Steam forum page to usually point you in the direction of, hey, to get this old piece of shit working on Vista or Windows 7, do this, follow these links. To here's some key mods or some texture upgrades, follow these things. I think it'll get you there. I was glad to have that, though. I never did get all the way through it. PC couldn't handle it at the time, and it didn't have an Xbox.
Yeah. I got like a couple of levels in.
Yeah.
And then that was one of the games I brought with me to the desert this past time, and I was playing it. For some reason, it kept on crashing at the same exact spot. So
yeah.
I just never really got past it. You know, put it down, played some other stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I will make an effort on the Steam version at some point.
Yeah.
Going back to the tweets here and jumping from Steam, I guess, to Valve now. Troy Reddy says, I'm curious on the gang's take on the new AI's voice acting in Portal 2. Hope it'll be changed or great as is.
I'm happy with
it. I was okay with it.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, a little British guy.
I thought maybe it needed a little bit of...
It needs some processing. It needs some digitizing.
It doesn't need to sound it just doesn't sound like...
It's a human standard.
It doesn't sound like an AI. It doesn't sound like a...
You know, even Edie in Mass Effect has some, processing.
A little bit of reverb.
Yeah, so, just like maybe... I wouldn't go all the way.
I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was funny that if you went over to, like, the RPS forums, they hated it.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't stand it. And I was like, well, like, it's a well-known fact that the American ear is, like... It's a tin ear when it comes to
we can't distinguish British accents.
We're not very good at it, but we love them all. Like, we really do. We have, in general, we have an affinity for that sort of thing. So, I mean, a truly bad one is a truly bad one. But what they might perceive to be, like,
they're probably like EastEnders not liking, people from Manchester.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of talk about regional dialect and the mixing of different parts of speech and stuff. And when, apparently that's the dude's voice. But he's just not a professional VO. He's a member of the dev team or something. Yeah. So it was supposed to be a placeholder, but that's how Valve does placeholders, evidently.
Yeah.
And I had read something where they said that they weren't sure if they were going to change it or not. But I mean, Jeremy and I watched it and we were laughing.
Yeah.
So it was like, all right.
Yeah, fine. It had good timing. It had.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
That was a very well voice acted placeholder. If that's
what that's what I'm saying. Like,
you did what?
No, it was good. The timing was good. It was well written. The jokes were funny. Yeah, I'm all for keeping it there.
Yeah.
And maybe it's all the better for not matching the style of GLaDOS, as different as it can possibly be.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I thought maybe the more I thought about it, the more I would agree, but I'm cool with it.
When I mentioned today's, when I mentioned the post of last week's show, I mentioned singularities being discussed in the episode, and Luckless Wonder said, singularities, I didn't know the LHC was having a sale. I miss everything. Hopefully you'll get that. Anyway, that was pretty much it. There were some responses to, I must have mentioned I was playing Crackdown, too. I can't remember if I put it on my Twitter or if I put it on this Twitter or if I put it on both. But Multile says, Crackdown with four-player co-op, awesome.
Did you get into any of that so far?
I only got into two-player co-op at the time. I did not get into any four-player.
Are you the only guy here that cares?
Probably.
When you guys, where you at?
It's on my, it should be showing up tomorrow, I imagine.
Okay.
And, we'll try it out.
Yeah.
Cautiously optimistic. We'll see.
I mean, Scott's
I'm gonna wait.
Scott's loving it. A handful of other people who are loving it.
I'm not, I'm enjoying it, but I don't have any problem with anybody who's like, man, that's just not for me. It's the same map. It's the same things.
Well,
I'll completely agree with you.
In all fairness to the argument, most people aren't saying, it's just not for me. A lot of people are saying, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is what we get after all this time spent with this property in limbo. We get, a quick-ass, 9-month development time on it or some shit like that?
About.
I mean, something like a really, really narrow development window.
I mean, the first gameplay we saw of this was, or at least shown to the public, was back in December.
Yeah. I mean, the game was announced a year ago.
Yeah, well, yeah, we had the trailer at E3, but that was just, you didn't make a trailer, and it had no gameplay whatsoever.
I find it hard to believe that they had not laid down any code.
Right, right.
We had been given a trailer. Maybe that's the case, I don't know. Nothing more than a year.
Yeah,
certainly not that. So it just seems like, and I don't know. It seems like a tough thing to critique. Like, it's the same city, and that pisses a lot of people off. And I can kind of get that. It's 90% the same gameplay?
Yeah. There is, 90% the same gameplay with the smallest of differences as far as, this is a weapon you didn't have in the first one, but it doesn't really matter much because...
Yeah, you can fly a helicopter, you can glide.
That's true. I haven't gotten to that part yet. The gliding, I just did that Sunday night. Or Sunday during the day, I can't remember when it was, but I was, or no, that was Monday, I forgot we had a holiday. I was so excited when it's like, hey, now you can glide, and I tried it and fell straight to the ground when I tried to do it, and I was like, either this, there's some technique to this, or not what I was hoping for, I'm hoping for Just Cause 2 gliding.
Yours is more basically a vertical glide to the concrete.
But this is...
I don't know. I watched the videos of it. It looked like that guy knew what he was doing.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, when do I get to learn how to do that is what I'm wondering. I don't know yet. Maybe it comes later. Maybe... I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure that. Maybe I haven't gotten high enough to where it's really taking effect.
That may be the case. I don't know. I think at the moment I can certainly live without it. I got no issues with being in the same city. I suppose... Well, I really don't, because I remember when we learned that, I was like, well, I was fine with it, I wasn't even really suspicious of it being set in the same location. I guess I can agree with a lot of people that said a more dramatic change in the city would have been more fun, and, I don't know, mutants kind of suck. That's part of my issue as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, mutants. I, as stupid as they were, I kind of liked the crime bosses from the first game.
Mm-hmm. They had their individual kind of.
It wasn't deep or all that complex, or it wasn't even super interesting. It was kind of fun that I could take out the dude who was responsible for providing guns, and then the subsequent guys wouldn't have as nice of guns or whatever. Which was kind of stupid because you got guns by stealing their guns. So.
Which I can still do that with you. Remember how we did the...
Yeah, I thought that it worked in a different way now. I didn't think that the weapon...
Actually, you're right. You're right. I forgot about that. It was working for me at the time that I was playing with Nick because I had already leveled up a good deal. But you're right. You cannot... There are certain weapons that you cannot store at your... hideout or whatever the fuck. You can't store them until you're a certain level.
Okay.
So even if I dropped in and gave you the flak turret,
I wouldn't be able to keep it.
You can't keep it because you're not up to the level. You could play with it all you want, but and I could keep giving them to you, but you can't store it. That would be the only thing.
Well, I mean, that's it's okay. I mean, I know that you're really liking it.
I'm enjoying it. It's working for me, and I am, you know, that's fine if it's not for anybody else. The reason I'm not as like pressed to say, oh God, go play this or whatever, is because I'm fine by myself.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's got the 4-player co-op, and I want to give that a shot, but I will in time. But I'm fine by myself. The thing I don't want to do is, I'm kind of stingy and mean in that way. Is that anything I help you do in your game does not transfer over into my game. Agility orbs and things I collect, sure, but if we go and take out a section of the city that I haven't done in mine, I still got to go back on my own and do that myself.
I say it's not a whole lot of fun.
And so it was just like, But I think 4 people in there just fucking around with rockets and doing whatever probably has a ball.
Clearly the appeal for a lot of people. So I got no problems with it.
We got an email concerning that, by the way.
Do it.
Yeah, from Matthew, Iron Past. Couple of thoughts on Crackdown 2. Well, actually thoughts of the reviews and opinions on Crackdown 2 since I've yet to play it. Actually, just one thought. Why is it, if a title has Pokemon, Call of Duty, Madden, God of War, Gears of War, and so on, it can get away with, in most cases, yearly sequels having little to no evolution? But if it's called Crackdown 2, it has no reason to exist and sucks big donkey balls. Just reading about it, even from people who profess to not like it, it sounds like enough changes to compel me to pick it up as soon as I can. Does everything have to reinvent the wheel with every sequel? It actually makes me think that so many people that claim to love the original, in fact, didn't. I liked it when it wasn't so popular to say so, and I remember defending it to everybody. So I have no idea where the love for the first came from, but it wasn't there at launch. At any rate, I have a feeling we'll be having the same discussion about Revolution versus Evolution when Dead Space 2 releases. P.S. I think my biggest pet peeve in reviews is someone saying a game has no reason to exist.
Always a reason to exist, right?
Yeah.
For just about anything. Here, I am completely sympathetic to that point of view. This isn't necessarily my opinion, but it's sort of what I've distilled out of what other people have said. And I think there was something mentioned about Gears specifically. Gears looks the same and plays the same and is functionally the same game. Functionally.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanically the same game from version to version. But it is a continuation of a single story. You are picking up where you left off. You are, if you care at all about moving the ball down the field in that game's storyline,
mm-hmm.
which isn't a great thing, but that matters, and that's considered progress. I don't think that Crackdown 2 gives a lot of people the sort of progress they're accustomed to in other sequels that are just being milled out every year.
Yeah.
It's just not what people expected. If you're going to give me another game, it can be in the same place, but I need something new to go along with it. Or it can play exactly the same, but just send me to a new place. I think the perception is that Crackdown keeps you in the same place, gives you almost exactly the same kind of gameplay, and since it's a game that virtually has no story, then the story can't be advancing. I think that's a bit of a perfect storm for some people, and it whips them up into a frenzy, and they're kind of pissed about it. So I guess I don't agree, just because I kind of liked the first game. I liked it, City. I thought they did a really good job with the sense of place. The architecture of the city was really neat. So the idea of revisiting it is pretty happy for me. I'm just not, you know, really energized about it. But I wouldn't mind going back, largely because it's been 3 years. I don't exactly remember the city, you know? I don't remember...
It came back to me. I didn't remember it at first either, but...
I mean, it would be familiar. It would be like, oh, yeah, I remember the spot, you know?
Oh, yeah. That was part of it was like... I remember being in an intersection somewhere next to a building that I recognized and remembered. They start you at a different point entirely in the sequel here, but I remember being near that, and I remember something just clicked in my head, and I was like, no, 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 I go down to the next intersection, turn there. That's where whatever it was that I was looking for, that's how I can get to this certain area or something like that. I remember sitting on top of a building, I was like, wait, there was a hidden orb here from last time. Let me go see if it's over there again. And it wasn't necessarily in the same spot, but if you, like, turned a corner, there it is. You know, so some of that stuff was there. And you could ping the orbs this time.
Yeah.
Saw that. From what I heard. So
I like when that happens. Like, when you're playing, like, Liberty City, you know, like GTA 4 and stuff like that. And you're like, you remember Liberty City from, you know, previous incarnations of GTA. You're like, oh, yeah. You know how to get around the city a little bit more. I kind of enjoy that continuity.
Yeah.
You know?
It's good. You're
familiar with a place. Some places, you know, you really like, and you just want to, you know, still hang out in there.
So. Well, Crackdown may be a special case, but he's not wrong about about people.
I can still go to my little spot and snipe out tires and watch the cars flip. I can still do that.
Sometimes people just want too much from a sequel or whatever, a reboot. I don't know what.
I think maybe if this was a different game, or maybe if I was, I know that we talked a lot about the first one on the show when we were first doing this show, but I think if this was maybe something else that I was way more passionate about, and I won't say Burnout because I could take anything that Burnout could offer.
You need to stop talking about Burnout.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Stop calling
it. Let it go. But if this was something maybe that I was more passionate about, if they had just done the same thing over with, I may be inclined to agree with that and say that it's just not for me. But this is working. I wasn't sure if it would from the demo, but I swear to God, clicked on my first orb, and I was just like, all right, I got to get more. I got to go find these others. And it was that bug was still in me to go and search that shit out, and I was enjoying it. So,
well, for me, I mean, I wonder, you know, how much of it is fair on my part that certain games hold, you know, their titles bring a certain amount of weight to it. You know, like we're talking earlier with like DSX 2 and, you know, Crackdown and stuff like that. That, you know,
LucasArts games, dude.
Yeah, you know, like if this was like any other game not named Crackdown or not named, you know, Invisible War, or not named whatever, if it's just brand new game, would you give it more leeway? Because, you know, like, oh, well, it's just something different.
You'd give it more leeway for being what it is, but...
But since it has
it wouldn't buy any attention from you either. I mean, an independent, free-floating, new, untested IP, there's a reason why there's not as many of those. They have a lot of problems.
Yeah. But, you know, when you have that title attached to it, then you're like, all right, well, you know, it has a certain amount of baggage also.
We spent a very, very long time, all of us, anybody who cared at all about the first Crackdown, which are mostly, I guess, a lot of the people. If you didn't ever play the first Crackdown, then... This argument about its similarity to the first Crackdown holds no water for you.
Yeah.
So your arguments against it will be something entirely different. If you liked the first one and you have complaints about this one, I think it's because, like everybody else, we spent a really long time hoping and dreaming about what a sequel would be like. Yeah. And it turns out a sequel is basically kind of like
Crackdown 1. 0.5.
Maybe, but just... You know, an alternate kind of Crackdown experience with a couple of advancements. And is that enough of a payout for 3 years spent kind of wishing and hoping that somebody would get their act together and give us the game? I don't know. I mean, I'm not upset about it, but yeah. I think it'll pass. I think people will realize it's actually just a fun game to play, you know. Kind of like they did with the first one. They gave the first one a lot of shit because it was supposed to be a delivery vehicle for the Halo 3 beta. That was it. It's good for nothing but that. And then you play it, and you're like, oh, never mind. Fuck the Halo 3 beta.
Yeah. And also, it was an original IP.
Yeah.
As you said, where that kind of, you know, there was no sequel attachment to it.
It's just expectation, that's all. And a lot of what makes us angry people is expectation or anticipation or entitlement. All of those things kind of exist at different positions along the same spectrum of want and need. And to whatever degree they're fulfilled, I think, creates a lot of our angst. I know it does mine. I mean, we just got done talking about that.
Yeah.
I wanted a future that was, you know, that unfolded along the Deus Ex axis, not something that unfolded along the, you know, Invisible War axis. But we know what I got, and I have to manage those expectations.
Now, to touch on the sequel aspect of gaming and stuff, we got an email from Brad Smith. It says, Dear A-Team, I mean in-game chat. I just finished watching the new footage of Infamous 2, and I have to say it looks bloody awesome. The visuals seem to be close to, if not equal to, that of the first Uncharted, and a lot of the gameplay mechanics that made the first Infamous so great seem to have made the transition over to Infamous 2 safely intact. Anyway, just wanted to get your observations on it. P.S. Been an avid listener ever since the Uncharted 2 episode with Amy and Neil. Love you guys, and keep up the great work. Peace. Sean, first-time commenter from the U.K.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks,
I like all our people in other countries. I mean, I like you guys too in America. Don't get me wrong.
Not as much.
It's fun, because, you know, perspective and whatnot.
Yeah, so I got this email, and I went straight over to Game Trailers, and I watched the footage. And did everybody else get to see that?
No, I did not. You didn't? I thought you and I watched the footage that wound up on YouTube.
I did not.
Are you sure? Because we were talking about the fact that he was using a weapon.
No, you talked about it to me.
Is that not one of one of the things we watched together? I could have sworn it was.
You probably watched the E3 footage together.
We saw the E3 stuff together. But yeah. I haven't seen anything since then.
Okay.
Yeah, the Game Trailers.
I guess that's what we were talking about.
GTTV did a thing last Thursday and showed the first footage of gameplay footage of Infamous 2.
Mm-hmm.
Just regular run through stuff. So.
In light of what I just got done saying, I'm really trying to manage my expectations about the game. I don't want to put myself in a bad place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying. Yeah, it looks really good. I hate Cole. I mean, I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
He wasn't a brilliant piece of character design, but I was okay with him. I liked him. He was what he was, and I got kind of attached to him as a guy. And
I liked him a lot.
I liked the voice actor.
I've decided that with Infamous 2, I'm basically going to have to look forward strictly to the gameplay and set my expectations really low for the story, because I can't even imagine how they can go from where they were at the end of Infamous to where they have taken Infamous 2 and may be happy with that aspect of it. But if they get the gameplay down,
it's all that mattered about the first one. Yeah. I mean, we went on and on about the story, but I just thought it was a really clever hook.
It was a fun ride, but really it was all about the gameplay.
It has to be.
I'm a little disappointed they can't, you know, just follow up on that story, but that was an odd place to leave the first one.
It was a tough place.
Yeah.
Because it would sort of necessitate starting the second game.
I sympathize with not knowing where to go from there. So.
Well, I mean, you can't make any good decisions. You either start the second game as
new character,
an unbelievable powerhouse, or commit what I really have to condemn as a total sin, which is take all my fucking powers away. I hate that shit. And that's the probability of that is high.
Yeah, no, that's...
Because I know they've given him... I saw him doing shit that he couldn't do in the first game. I was like, that thing's made of ice. You didn't play around with ice in the first game. You remember what you did? Electricity. That was your thing. You know, now you got a big tuning fork on your back or whatever. Like, that's weird.
And now you're messing around with ice.
Yeah.
And it's all weird.
It's all weird, but like I said, I don't want to get out in front of it. I don't want to say, like, this is what it ought to be. What it is sucks. I'm not doing that.
Right.
It looks great. They really built a lot of good gameplay. I think they fucked the character up, but I can get past that. I can deal with that. I'm just anxious for it. Do we even have a window? What, 2011? Is that our window?
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Bastards.
That's how it goes.
Maybe
whatever. It's only been out a year.
Basically, they focus tested Cole into his present appearance.
Yeah. That's I don't like I them heard. Focus groups, man.
No, man, fuck a focus group.
Yeah, we're down with it. Believe me, we're all about some Infamous too. But I don't know. It's probably
actually, you know, the fact that it's taking me into unfamiliar, uncomfortable territory makes me, you know, kind of happy.
It's the better. That's fine. That's the better decision. I sort of balked at it at first because I was like, this is not Cole. Cole does exactly this, and this is what's happening, you know. Please don't confound my expectations. I'm too old for this shit. So. But whatever. It's great. I'm down with it.
I enjoyed seeing the semi-destructible environments that was going on when he was running around the corner and knocking down the awnings or whatever the fuck it was. I don't know what it was, but it just started a chain reaction because he just knocked one pole out from something. Just because he was running. He wasn't doing that for any tactical reason. And all the shit started falling down to make it seem a little bit more like you can do this, I guess. Like, you know, you can have a group of baddies under something or having something over their head and using the environment to break away stuff. I don't know. I'm trying to load it up now. By the end of the show, it'll be ready for you so you can watch it.
Here's another thing, though.
It occurs to me they gave him the Max Payne treatment. Take kind of gruff, tough, ugly-looking guy and then, you know, pretty him up, him up.
Polished his ass up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Poor guy.
Ran him through the wash. Yeah, sucks. Made him smell good.
For me, the thing I got was, like, it reminded me of the episode of The Simpsons when Homer was doing the voice acting for that Extreme Dog cartoon. It's just like that. Just like,
shit reminds you of weird shit.
Yeah, stuff usually does. But, you know,
have you made it to the point in Alan Wake yet where Sam Lake's on the TV?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
I know you've beaten it, but...
No.
No?
Okay. Get the face. Yeah, that was...
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Something I hope they don't...
You'll enjoy it if Matt hasn't inadvertently completely spoiled it for you. So,
okay. Most people don't.
There was a lot of shit in Infamous that was weird. Like kooky, strange. It was very particular to how those guys make their games. The enemies were weird. They were oddball kind of... You know, like, I mean, the fucking, you know, neo-Nazis in the Virtual Colossus outfits. Like, that was, okay, whatever. But, like the trash men with the magic golems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's fucking crazy. And, like, the little hooded, you know, dark magic dudes. Like, it was a very... They were unique and they were very identifiable. Mm-hmm. And they matched the sort of place and the mood of that game a lot. I liked them. I hope that there is willing to be kind of strange and oblique in the next game as they were in the first one. I hope they don't lose too much of the peculiarity of the game. And not try to become too mainstream or too
suck
badass.
Suck its blood out like they also did with Max Payne.
I don't want mainstream and don't want badass.
Yeah.
Because, like, Cole was kind of a rough dude, but the game was not exactly something that... I mean, because that was the big distinction between it and a Prototype.
Mm-hmm.
Prototype was just trying to have big nuts.
Right.
You know, and be extreme.
Yes.
Infamous was not. So, I just hope it feels like Infamous. That's all I'm really asking for, I guess.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Let's see. Next email. Scott writes to us and said, watchable avatar, Rift Tracks. We should look into that.
Is that a thing? Is he saying that's a thing that's in existence?
I think Rift Tracks has done really, Avatar.
That's really fun.
So
I would like to see that.
That's something to...
Because I both loved and hated Avatar, so...
Yeah. And Scott also writes in and says, game payoffs. I have heard enthusiasts discuss the fact that used game sales harm the developers and publishers. However, renting a game has the same effect, as the game copy is purchased once, and each copy will feed tens of gamers. The team sees zero profit from game rentals aside from the initial purchase. It's no difference. And that's sent to us by Scott.
It's tough because he's not.
Yes
not,
and no. It's
yeah. It's Jeremy.
It's not,
and I actually,
it's not like you think it is. Let's put it like that. It's not that they buy a $60 copy of the game and then everything after that is profit.
Yeah,
there are specific license agreements that they have to enter into.
But I couldn't quote.
We can't find any specifics.
It's very difficult.
I do know it's likely similar to the way movies are done.
Yeah,
where instead of buying a $15 or $20 DVD, they have to pay $60 for a movie.
They pay a shit ton for movies. I remember, I was trying to. I was working. I can't remember if I was working at Blockbuster, if I was working at the theater at the time. But I was trying to find a way that we could get, I was trying to buy directly, some movie that was coming out. I can't remember. I was like, can I just go ahead and buy that when it comes out? Because the video store was getting it before, it was being released in stores to buy.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I don't know how long ago. Oh, I remember what it was for. It was for Mortal Kombat.
Ah.
Oh, yeah?
The first movie. So this was before I even fucking had a job.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I want that video when it's, because it was, I could rent it and I could just rent it over and over again. This was back before you had Netflix, before you had pay this 1 month and, you know, you can keep it out as long as you like.
Mm-hmm.
This was, you rent it for 2 days, you take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept watching that goddamn thing over and over and I wanted to buy it. How much? $125.
Yeah.
It was like $125, $150 for a VHS copy.
Yeah.
Of that film. Before it hit, like, you know, hitting in Walmart and all these other stores, before you could purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
For home use. It was like $125. So that was for one copy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think
it is, we tried very hard to find specific information on how it works, but I don't know. There wasn't any out there. But maybe we can, you know, get in touch with somebody at Gamefly or Blockbuster and have them explain, at least in general.
I'm really curious how Gamefly works.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's part of the problem. I know what you're saying about how it used to work. And really, I know this isn't what he brought up.
Right.
But it put the question in our head of, I mean, let's just say, for argument's sake, let's just put out there that that they don't. That it's a one-time purchase at the same retail cost or the same wholesaler cost, actually. It's not going to be the retailer cost because they get their stuff in the same manner that the retailer does.
Mm-hmm.
And anymore, Blockbuster is a retailer because they sell shit day one. Games are not subject to the same licensing agreements that movies are anyway, so
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put all that aside. Let's say that what he's saying is absolutely true. And in certain cases, it actually is. Bob, the game renter guy who opens a stupid, you know, I don't know, some redneck rental service out there in the woods here in Alabama, you know, like, from what I could find, he's not actually bound by any particularly heinous shit. He can go buy a retail copy of a thing and rent it to a single guy, and nobody's going to come knocking on his door. But there seems to be some sort of strange holes left in coverage by publisher agreements or agreements made with distributors, licensing for certain size businesses, as far as it's recognized by the government. I don't know. It's very hard to come across real legitimate information about this. But even if it was all the same, I still consider renting to be a lesser evil. And I think that's why a lot of people who are otherwise enthusiasts do it. Because it isn't just the used game market. And you're right about this. We don't really talk about the rental because a rental isn't a purchase. And there are a few developers who actually do speak openly about it. I mean, Jeremy sort of pointed out that the proof is in the pudding, that these guys don't bitch either at all or to any measurable degree about rentals. Mm-hmm. Most of their anger is about used sales. But just like the developers hate used sales, enthusiasts and developers seem to hate them for the same reason, is that we don't necessarily hate the secondary market. I think it has a lot to do with how GameStop in particular manages the secondary market, what they've done with it. They've been the secondary market.
They're so aggressive with their used game policies that they actively try to undercut new game sales.
Yes, and they have so much influence, mm-hmm. and they represent the mass of the secondary market in that way. So I think a lot of hate for used games is hate for
just
that
GameStop
annoying shit behind
practices.
The counter. And it's like, well, yeah, I know that annoying shit behind the counter. Like, I've worked with him. I've had to work behind that counter. Like, mm-hmm. I know both sides of it, and I know how much I didn't like it. But I also know, for average dude, and I don't want to go back into this whole, there is no answer there. Not yet. But I know that there's a legitimate reason for it to exist. But for a lot of people, the assumption always was that, regardless of either of those practices, they charge too much for their fucking video games. If I am super sold on it, and if I have been watching preview materials, if I trust the dev team, if I am down the line with this game and the men who made it, I'll pay my money at retail. And still get bit in the ass a lot of times. But long and short of it is, a lot of games cost too much money. And it hurts, you know? It hurts to eat that stuff up. And there has to be some kind of alternative. maybe something even better than a demo, and that leads everybody towards rentals because it's a good deal. It's the best available deal for consumers, and it's picked up some of the slack that retail hasn't been able to do because retail can't adjust very quickly. So I just don't. It's not perfect. I just don't see it as being as bad as used game sales because it doesn't. I don't know. I don't consider it a lost sale. A used game at $45 when the new game costs $55, like, that seems sort of shitty. But when I rent it, I don't feel like I was necessarily going to buy it anyway. I rent it because I wasn't going to buy it, because the full price wasn't worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm more likely to feel like a used game is a lost sale than a rental, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. But again, I don't know. I don't have any real data. That's just my feeling. So you might be right. The thing we'd like to know is whether these guys are actually bound by licensing agreements or cost agreements determined by the distributor and the publisher that actually result in at least a little more money going to them. I don't know. I don't know that it does at all. But my suspicion is that it does, but there's literally no totally trustworthy, Googleable information, at least not what I could find in a single night of looking around, several hours of looking. So I would have to get in touch with somebody directly, like mm-hmm. Blockbuster Man, how do you get your games and how do you pay for them? I don't know that they want to answer that. I don't know that Gamefly would either.
Yeah,
Gamefly is the most interesting.
Gamefly is the one I'm really curious about, but I honestly
if you pose the question the right way, I think they'll give you an answer. They probably won't want to go into specific numbers or anything.
Right.
But I think
I'm not even interested in specific numbers.
No, not really.
You could probably correlate what they do tell you with information that's publicly available in earnings reports,
mm-hmm.
Which is stuff that people have already looked through. At least I know they have for Netflix, kind of breaking down the profit margins on Netflix's material. The disc material, obviously. The digital stuff is who the fuck knows. But it looks like a trickier business than maybe we would think it was. So I don't know. If anything, yeah, I know, you might be right. It just made me kind of hungry for a little more information. And it made me feel like, yeah, okay, like, I know. The game still costs $60 brand new, and I don't maybe want to pay that.
Yeah.
So what it's worth, there's also, at least, and I haven't checked any of my more recent games, but at least, you know, 10, what was it? Has it been 10 years? Yeah, 10 years ago in the old PlayStation and N64 manuals, in the back in the licensing agreement, rental was something specifically mentioned that was not allowed.
Yeah.
And that you had to contact, you know, in the case of Nintendo
yeah.
to establish a license to rent the property.
Yeah, it's...
So it does look like there's definitely some sort of, you know, mechanism, licensing infrastructure in place for that. So
just kind of tough to put your finger on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. It's all tied back up into old cost issues and retail issues. I think the entire thing is going to evolve again at some point when we get out from under the fucking discs, which I know isn't going to make a lot of people happy. Most people still apparently prefer them. Mm-hmm. I think that you can't... Oh, I have a suspicion that you can't ever move into a place of believable cost savings for digital delivery, where we always expect that, hey, you give it to me digitally without a box, without any of this shit, and I get it cheaper. Sometimes that's the case. Like, sometimes it's not, you know? Like, mm-hmm. even with Activision, like, Transformers, like, $40 on PC,
mm-hmm.
you know? That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad. I know a lot of people who bought it at that price would never have bought it at $60, but they found that spot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And pricing is so arbitrary or so inconsistent, and it's all inextricably bound to the fact that there are still discs on store shelves
mm-hmm.
at major retailers. It's such a confusing question that it's hard to even figure out, you know, what the right philosophical stance is, you know. As an enthusiast, what should I really be doing? Should I only ever buy games, you know? Download demos and buy games and never participate in anything else? Clearly not. Is it okay to kind of have a stance against GameStop's management of used game sales? Yeah, I think so. At least from a populist standpoint, that's a really safe opinion. But, you know, if anything, you illustrate how complex it still is, how much of it is still left undecided.
Well, I don't know. There's the politics of that whole situation where GameStop has an exclusive if you pre-order it from them, or if you buy it from them, they have that exclusive pack in that comes with it and stuff. And I know, and I don't know how that works. Does GameStop pay for that? Are they paying publisher for that?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and
specific deals made with
the publisher, I'm sure, enjoys that. The fact that, you know, the store pays whatever they pay to have that exclusive pack in come with it, or that exclusive DLC provided for it.
When was the last time the GameStop exclusive was not equal to or better than every other exclusive?
Yeah, totally.
You know? When Best Buy and Amazon are also offering exclusives. Yeah. Like,
who had Shockwave?
Yeah.
GameStop.
Yeah.
But they're releasing that for, you know, everybody.
Yeah, but
that always happens.
That usually happens. Yeah. That's not the point. Like, there's an entire contingent of people out there, and there's nothing wrong with them, by the way. But there's a whole group of people who never buy anything new, and this is exactly why. There's an entire group of people who only ever buy on a Steam sale, who just don't believe in buying games new at retail. Largely because they're being a little... It's a little bit of puritanism, in my opinion. It's I don't know. It's a lot more scrutiny over money than I necessarily feel is. It's a kind of prudence that I don't necessarily have. Like, I'm whatever, dude. I don't have fucking kids, you know. Like, I don't have a lot of. I don't have mortgage. I don't have car payments. I don't have these things. Like, so all my shit's paid for. So I always feel like it comes down to a personal money issue,
mm-hmm.
but. A lot of these first day incentives aren't going to match up for a lot of people because they just don't believe first day purchases. Some of them because they just think that first day shit is always too expensive. I don't know. There's a lot of different reasons out there. But this entire thing, like you bring up, of retailer specific incentives or purchase incentives, or like retail purchase incentives, it's definitely an active experiment. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. You know. Because all they're trying to do is keep the game off of the used game shelf at GameStop. That's all they're trying to do.
Yeah.
There's easier ways to do it.
I totally agree with
you. One you and I were talking about earlier today that we can't necessarily talk about on the show.
Look, I will say this.
Super fucking easy ways of doing it.
I'll say this, and I won't say any more on it, and I will not email anybody about it, and I will not tweet about it at all. But when I found out that I was going to be playing Crackdown 2 by downloading it from Xbox Live, I thought, this is awesome, and I hope it goes this way. I hope this becomes a normal thing. That's it. I won't say any more about it, because I don't know if I can, but it was there.
Things like that will become more normal.
A month from now, maybe it still will be. I don't know. It seems like if it's there...
Well, I mean, regardless of Crackdown 2, that's just how it's going to go. Sooner or later, these guys are going to pick up on the lessons that are happening on the PC.
Which I can't believe they haven't yet.
Well, they're just, you know how but slow
I
they are.
Yeah, I know.
And I know we're never going to get Steam on Xbox, necessarily. They're not going to be managed that well. And I've had my fair share of nasty things to say about Steam,
just
because it's a dominant platform, and I would really like more competition, but... Jesus Christ, they're 10 times better at it than
have you used any of those others? Have you used
I've never used Impulse. I've used GOG and Director Drive.
Ah, Director Drive, forgot about them. Yeah.
Only when they have really good sales.
Right, yeah. Right.
But because some of their shit can become difficult to manage. Patching and updating, mm-hmm. and things like that. But you know, a lot of stuff is like $5.
Yeah.
Jesus. But they're going to figure it out sooner or later that you can offer it in such a way that's never going to be redistributable, that's got built-in DRM. I mean, the service itself is DRM, mm-hmm. which is why people get so pissed off about another layer of DRM in Steam.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not. It's like the install limits. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. Like, you can deactivate an install seat easily. Like, 5 installs is fine. Anytime you want to install it, it deactivates it. It's not a big deal. But regardless, like, it's there. The DRM is built in. The service is the DRM. Sooner or later, they'll figure it out. They'll realize They've already figured it out, for Christ's sake. Why else would they be pushing 250 gig hard drives when at the beginning of the generation, 20? They weren't offering any more than 20?
The only thing left to do now is to wait until, you know, the market shows that enough people will buy, you know, direct download.
Yeah.
To support the entire thing, that they don't need retail discs anymore to, you know, to further sales.
Yeah.
Which we are a long way from that. We're at least 10 years away from that.
Yeah, maybe.
I can't say for certain that is an experiment. The fact that it was downloadable, from people I had talked to about this, to say, what do you know about this? They said, well, it could be also for the fact that it saves the cost of shipping out a box and a game to yeah, sure, review sites and things like that.
It doesn't matter, though.
Here,
if,
it's there.
If you did what you did.
I understand.
Then all that's necessary is to attach it to the store.
Just to let it out.
That's all we have to do. That doesn't especially excite me, except for the fact that it brings it more in line with a future that's better for everybody. It puts you in a position to get rid of a lot of the legacy costs of distributing games,
yeah,
whether they will or not, and they probably won't,
right,
because they want their money and because we're already accustomed to cost. I'm just saying the opportunity is there to drop your costs, to recognize that the cost of distribution,
mm-hmm,
drop off the face of the earth, to recognize the simple math. Charging less money for your game means more sales,
mm-hmm,
and that you really can reach a sweet spot. You'd be, mm-hmm, amazed at what happens when... I mean, how many console people are out there that have never had really good exposure to the pricing structure of PC games? Like, there have been several.
I know one guy.
Yeah.
Gorvy.
Yeah. That's been kind of fun. And Nabokov brought up a friend of his that he brought into PC gaming who was just going for an absolute fucking loop when he saw the prices of shit on PC.
Yeah.
And Nabokov, he said, welcome to the PC where everything's half off.
Like,
yeah, man, because they figured out, like...
Yeah.
I mean, not everything. It's obviously hyperbole, but not by a lot.
Yeah.
They can figure it out in the consoles. They can do that. They can give games for cheaper and make more money.
They're
and
already...
Instantaneously...
You know they don't even really have to wait until it's to the point where they can drop discs completely to have a major impact
in the way they want to.
No,
well, they're already doing it with the Xbox Live Arcade.
Well, yeah, but...
I understand it's on a different scale, but...
Right. But, like, once you get people used to the idea of buying, you know, $60 or $50 or whatever, digital, you know, full-blown
they've already gotten used to paying $20 and $15.
For every person you get to start buying their games that way, that's one more person that won't be trading their games into GameStop.
Yes.
You could also look at DLC content. DLC content, $25 on some things or $20, you know, from I'm using the Xbox Live Marketplace as the example of this.
What kind of DLC are you talking about for $25?
I don't know.
Most probably of it runs nothing. Like 400 to 1200 points, depending.
Around $15, $10 to $15,
yeah.
basically. And not much more than that.
Well, I mean, and it has
but
a
the
lot
size
to...
of the content.
Yeah, some of it.
You know, I can't remember, was it Assassin's Creed 2 that it was like over a gig or something like that for the
I
size
don't even
of that
remember
content?
The size of the
I
download.
Can't remember, but I know that there's been that, and there's been content like that that would be close to a disc worth of content that somebody downloaded. I mean, your hard drive's already there. You keep releasing new, bigger hard drives for your system. I don't know. I think things are moving into place. It's just going to be a long time before they get there.
There are a lot of things that need to. There has to be a confluence of a lot of things. People have to perceive the value. I mean, that's fair, man. Like, if all of a sudden you've eliminated the secondary market. Haven't made it really any better for me.
Right.
And are charging me the same amount? Well, no shit, man. There's going to be no uptake on that crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... I don't want to act like I'm in a camp of people who, like, is so lazy they can't change a disc. But, I mean, I don't like changing discs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't do that. I don't really even use them on my PC. It's not a big deal, clearly. But it's like, eh... What if I didn't have to do that? What if everything was just instantly accessible through the front end? Like, that'd be really nice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a quality of life thing that isn't worth the loss of a potential secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
But if
if Microsoft in particular can learn the lessons of Steam and Valve and learn to, you know, discount their shit on a fairly frequent basis to make it good for everybody, then everybody wins.
I agree. Whether or not that actually comes to pass, I don't know. I mean, nobody knows. I just think that there's the potential for it to work really well.
Yeah.
And I would sure like to see it move into the realm of things that we've all talked about, moving back toward rentals. But please, for the love of God, give me a downloadable digital delivery rental service. Not to jump back for the 10,000th time to Steam, but Steam effectively already does that. That's what the free weekends are. They dump the free shit into your queue or into your thing. You can install the motherfucker and play it 100% for free for 3 days, essentially. Yeah. And then it stays in your list, but it's like, you can't access it. You want it, you got to buy it. And how much simpler can it possibly get? The functionality is already there. Mm-hmm. Since platform equals DRM, with a value add, if you build it as intelligently as Steam does, then I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm always exhausted at the end of this conversation because there is no answer. Nobody has the answer right now. There are too many gears grinding in different directions in the industry. It could also be one of the reasons that I feel invigorated when I move back to the PC.
Mm-hmm. This is more because like the future.
Oh, I always get the feeling every time I'm buying off Steam. I can't play those games yet, but it's a great feeling.
Well, just the everything works in a much more predictable and acceptable fashion there. And you don't feel like you're necessarily waiting for it to catch up. You sort of, you know, you feel a lot of dead weight dragging behind you sometimes, but
I also love the fact that I can look at my, well, I guess I love and hate the fact that it's there in a way that I can look at my friends list and be like, damn it, they're all playing this game.
Yeah.
And then all I got to do is click over there and buy it.
Yep.
On an impulse.
Yeah.
On an impulse of seeing so many people do. Yeah, I understand.
It's pretty bad, man.
Yeah.
It's like,
and to think, dude, if they're putting $60 games on the marketplace on my console and I'm seeing friends playing all this shit that I'm, man, like, all right, fine, I'll give it a shot, and I've just you got
even
money,
the dude, even the most miserly among us on the COG forums. I mean, even the dudes who you could not, I mean, it's like blood from a stone with some of these guys. Like, and God love them, you know, they stick to their fucking guns. But if you went in there in the last 10 days and looked at that fucking Steam thread, even those guys will have found something that would, like, unclench their bony fists.
Pry it from their cold, dead hand, yes.
Man, just begrudgingly, I can see them grinding their teeth as they admit that there's no possible way to tarnish the value of a game that costs $2.50. You know? I mean, it's just wonderful because the threshold is it's all over the place, man, and it can be good for everybody. And they fucking figured it out. And it's not like they're hiding it.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's an... I mean, motherfucker makes it an object lesson at every event he speaks at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get with the fucking program. Guess what I did? I lowered prices, people bought more shit. The end. Like, there's a better way through this entire deal where we're not all fighting with each other constantly. So.
All right. Next email from Scott. Again, it says, on live... or why James is wrong. I offer the following on why OnLive is not shit. I have been playing Splinter Cell Conviction and Arkham Asylum on my Mac without the need for loading Windows or bothering with the problems plaguing gaming in the Windows environment. Don't deny driver issues or system spec struggles. PC games are rarely insert disk and play. I also do not have to wait for a developer or producer to tell me which games I'm allowed to play. For Mac users, OnLive trumps all. I do not mind the fees for hassle-free gaming.
All right, two things. One,
why'd you single James out?
Why am I wrong? I think everybody pretty much agreed with me in my dislike of what OnLive is. Second, yeah, those are all the things that I actually agree with about OnLive. Those are the things that have had us interested since day one.
Yeah.
I don't misunderstand, and maybe that's what happened before. Yes, you are absolutely right. I was super excited about being able to theoretically access their service through my Mac if I happen to be away from my gaming PC.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, no, dude, I agree, and I like that idea. The only thing about it that I think is shit is that their pricing plans don't make any fucking sense. That conceptually I have to pay for access to their shit and then pay again to either buy access to the game, which I will only ever receive through their service, or pay to rent it through their service, which makes a lot more sense to me. But that's neither here nor there. Like, the fact that it was nested kind of tiered levels of pricing for access to stuff, it's not that that is wrong, it's that it made me think they never really had things ironed out. to their credit, I can tell that they've recognized this because they've waived the service fee for the first fucking year.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Like, you don't pay anything for a year of access. You still pay for the games, though. So that alleviates my concerns a lot, but it doesn't mean that paying, what was the original quoted amount, $10, $15 a month? $15 a month, and then having to pay the full retail cost of a game that I will never be able to play outside of their service if I ever happen to do get a proper gaming PC. Like, that's not quite right.
Yeah,
but what you say about access through the Mac or hassle-free, like somebody else is responsible for the updates and the patching and installation, goddamn right, dude. It's a pain in the ass. It's something I kind of happen to love about PC gaming. The tweaking and the modding and the baby.
Paying the full, you know, $60 for a game and then paying, you know, I guess for the first year you don't have to pay any fees. But then after that,
right,
having to pay $15 or having access cut off. And then the licensing agreements are only for about 3 years into the future, so they may just disappear anyway.
Yeah.
Even though you've paid a full $60 for a game. In my opinion, if you want hassle-free gaming, then it just makes better economic sense to get a console and play Arkham Asylum and what was the other game you mentioned?
Splinter Cell Conviction,
yeah. You know, on a 360 or something. But
yeah, maybe.
And I mean, I can understand that, you know, maybe you know, just prefer mouse and keyboard. I understand that. But
and if you've got a Mac.
But $15 a month or having your games taken away that you've paid full price for, it doesn't seem, the value doesn't seem there to me to get mouse and keyboard for that.
Yeah, it's clearly the kind of thing where everybody has to decide their own value.
Yep, absolutely.
And I don't actually know what the prices for any of these individual games are, but as I understand it, as of like what they had said a couple weeks back when they launched the service, was that you have to pay the retail price of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a little bit less, say $40, it's still, when they launched the service, the indication was we pay a fee and we can access a certain number of titles that they have licensed.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. not how it happened.
Yeah.
That agreement either never existed or it fell through. And so they were required to have to license each individual copy, which basically just meant we had to buy each individual copy.
Right.
That's not ideal. Is OnLive a good solution for people in that position? Clearly it is. And I've heard a number of people tell me that the service works very well, like very, very well. On top of that, stuff that he didn't get a chance to mention in the email is that it's apparently got a pretty interesting sort of over-the-shoulder voyeur feature.
That does sound very,
where anybody can sort of tune in
just
on what another
somebody else's game,
on what another user is playing, mm-hmm. and a bunch of people can watch that person playing and sort of comment. And yeah, see, like you're making an interested face.
I perked up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ravenlock was telling me about that, and
I think I remember reading. Yeah,
and
yeah.
He suggested, he was like, you need to go. You should like check this out because it's extremely interesting. So when I signed up and I got my invite, and we're doing the show early this week. One of the things I wanted to do was fuck around with that before we got to the show, but I didn't get a chance to.
Mm.
So don't get me wrong, like I don't want it to crash and burn and die. It's just that we were very interested up until the point where the pricing structure became mm-hmm. very clear, and it was like, oh, I'm not going to be doing that, you know, because I have a gaming PC. This doesn't help me at all. Whereas if it was a subscription service that gave me access to a ton of shit that I likely wouldn't ever buy,
mm-hmm.
but would like to rent. And I was just paying
a sort of, you know, GameFly for PC kind of thing.
Yeah, that's something I've been interested in for a super long time. Mm. And that kind of is something that they're offering. And the fact that they've waived their fee for a year I'd have to look into what some of the rental fees are. That could actually be something that, that I find very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But purchased through their thing, it didn't work out for me. So I don't want to imply that the whole service is bad, or that the service is necessarily right. bad. Is it not strange that they did that they waived their fee for the first year? Like, I mean, that's
well, maybe just trying to get people interested.
No, clearly yeah. just trying to get people interested. No, maybe about it, yeah. but like 3 months, I would have been like, oh, okay, you're really confident in your service and your ability to make this deal work. A year, and then the first 3 months, I think after that year is up, are only like $5 a month.
Mm.
They're being very generous.
Yeah.
So for what it's worth, since there is no cost to you as a consumer, it's to whatever degree, if you have a computer of any sort, it seems like it's in your interest to sign up and to just give it a look, you know, give it a fair shake. So it costs you nothing. So
I'd be interested in that.
Again, way to throw two sentences at me and then yeah. get us to go on for half an hour.
Yeah, really. Calgar99 writes in and says, hey guys, just wondering if any of you have completed Red Dead Redemption and what your thoughts are on it. Trying to keep it non-spoilery, I appreciate the attempt they made, but it felt kind of tacked on. Maybe if they developed Marston's backstory at the beginning, it would have made more of an impact. Anyway, just looking for your views. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, I have completed Red Dead. And, yeah. To sum it up, just not worth it is how I felt about the ending.
I haven't finished it, and I still agree that they should have done more with Marston's backstory in the beginning. Just because it was like, are we sure this guy isn't from Red Dead?
Or what kind of guy am I again? The first game?
Because I feel like I'm supposed to know an awful lot about this motherfucker that I don't.
Yeah.
Great guy. Really, really great character.
When he's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Mexico just really caught me the fuck up, dude. It's awful. I was like, I could be in Mexico or I could, you know, whatever. I could be fucking parachuting over a military base in Panau or whatever that fucking bullshit country in Just Cause 2 is.
I was not a fan of the ending because basically after you go and do, the big... You know, the big thing that you're supposed to do as John Marshall to wrap up your shit, then you have to go
You kept doing it over. You kept doing other things over and over.
You had to go be Mr. Family Man run your farm. And it was boring as fuck.
It really was,
dude. It was. It was terrible.
Your kid's annoying.
I mean, the characters were fine, I guess.
His name Jason. Was your kid's name Jason? Would have been brilliant.
The characters were fine, although I really wonder, after meeting my wife, why I was so anxious to get back home.
Yeah.
Because as I got home, I wanted to leave.
Yeah, go back to the ranch.
The old girl at the ranch?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was... And yeah, and then, I saw the ending coming, at that point very clearly. I knew what they were going to do. And so when they did it, I was like, all right, well, there we go. Now you've done that. Now I can send this shit back and... regret all that time I spent in Mexico.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have very many good things to say about Red Dead anymore.
That's a damn shame because,
up until you get to Mexico, it's a pretty good time. But,
it was a real... don't even, dismiss that. I mean, I know you've got a holistic view of it now.
Yeah.
We were all having, a fucking blast with that goddamn game.
Yeah.
For the first stretch of it.
And then Mexico goes and fucks it up.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's a big problem for a lot of people. It was a real problem for me, just because I was I don't like what you're doing anymore. I liked what was going back on up there.
As asking James where he was, and he was still kind of early in Mexico, I was like, well, then just quit. Just quit, because
so much better things
to be doing. It makes up such a substantial portion of the rest of the game. Yeah. Getting to Blackwood isn't worth it.
And you don't spend nearly enough time in Blackwood.
If you're nearly done with Mexico, then go ahead and finish the game up, because there's not really that much left. But
just imagine that the game ends when you get to Mexico.
And just give
just
up.
Just be like, that's my ending. Hey, I made it to Mexico. That was the point of the game.
Drowned crossing the river.
Yes.
You died of dysentery.
Yeah. That's a good one.
No, I'll see it through. I mean, I bought the motherfucker. I'm not just going to not play,
It's the right back choice. 40,
the back $40 of the game. I'm not going to do that.
I really wish you had spent more time in Blackwood. Not at his ranch, but, I enjoyed the
Yeah, I've heard the complaints about that area. Look, if anything, the little bit of foreknowledge that you've offered me means that I don't have to wait until a second playthrough to start playing like an asshole. All
right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have word from the future what all you people are going to do. It just, you know, and it also... It
doubled back.
Yeah. It didn't... yeah, it was okay. I mean, I'm still all right with it. I just was angry at Mexico, and it became really easy to be pissed at Mexico and then go do something somewhere else that was infinitely more rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I don't know. I may come through the whole thing and be like, you know, you're off your fucking nut. It was great.
You're not going to do that, man.
Well, I am now.
You'll find a way. That was all the emails. Right now it's time to check in with Kevin. And how his progress of APB is going, I guess.
He's having
I don't
fun
know.
With it.
I don't know if this is. I don't know if this is concerned. The Google Translator just does not tell me what the hell he's going to be talking about. Yeah. So let's just.
So this is
out.
Kevin's corner.
This is Kevin's corner.
IGC, what's up, man? This is Kevin, the real fucking Kevin. Punched Jesse in his goddamn nose, guys. Oh my god, man! I saw that fucking Gran Turismo 5 trailer. What the fuck? I am so fucked. Dude, it's got damage in it. It looks immaculate. Who wants to donate a fucking PS3? Hey, RJ, you want to trade? Anyway, hey guys, have a great fucking show. And talk about that goddamn racing game. What's wrong with you guys? You never talk about sports games. What the fuck? Later.
There's a reason why we don't talk about sports games.
Yeah.
RJ talks about sports games.
Yeah. When we make him.
Well, yeah. You know, actually, you know, I busted out my old Dreamcast, you know, was out in storage in the attic and, you know, brought it down, and Virtua Tennis was in there, and I'm like, oh,
Virtua Tennis
okay.
is not a sports game.
It's the closest thing that
no,
I got.
Dude. Virtua Tennis is like, you know, Pong 2010.
Yeah, it's always.
It was
well,
fun.
Pong.
Well, 1999.
Yeah. But Virtua Tennis was fucking great.
Yeah.
That shit was badass.
Well, there is no Pong 2010, so it gets it by default.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm plugged in my VMUs and everything. I'm like looking at the VMU.
Oh, it's
like,
brilliant.
Oh, this is great.
Not a sports game.
Yeah.
So what is he talking
He's
about?
He's talking about Gran Turismo 5.
Okay.
He doesn't have a PS3.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do. Because he's got Gran Turismo 5 on his brain.
You know,
and
I just,
every couple of months he does this.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, been in development for so long that it's been like every couple of months for like 3 fucking years he does this.
Yeah.
And he's like, I saw some new shit on GT5, man. I got to fucking play it. Because he loves his racing games.
Yes.
Playing racing games for a long time. And I'm like, I know. Is it a... Does that look like a $450 racing game to you?
That's the question you've got to ask yourself.
Kind of, yeah.
You know, I'll let you borrow my Wii. I'm not going to like let him borrow my PS3 also. Just like hand out my consoles to all my friends.
Aren't you getting redeployed somewhere where you're probably going to get shot and killed anyway?
No, just Korea.
Like you said.
Yeah, right. Aren't you getting redeployed to World War III? Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I don't know what to tell you.
When are you going
out
there?
You need to distract yourself.
Next year.
Next year, okay, you should play Homefront before you go out there. Just
oh, definitely.
Yourself.
When is Homefront coming out?
This year.
Is it?
Yeah, like fall, August or something?
Oh, okay.
That's got my interest, big time.
That's good. That's good. Play that Breakout Falcon 4.0.
Actually, when I was up in the attic getting the Dreamcast, I also saw my Falcon 4.0, you know, the binder. I'm like, oh, I'm thumbing through that and everything.
You
just
in
like,
the attic?
Yeah.
I don't ever go up in the attic.
I had to get something. There's
up there. Spiders up
there. Yeah, it's great. Like looking through that binder again.
Spiders
like,
are in
that,
the attic, man.
That was
are
a,
you out of your fucking mind?
I don't have any spiders in my attic. It's too
spiders
hot for spiders.
Huh? Yeah.
It's too hot for spiders.
Oh, my spiders.
It's just a crawl space, though, you know.
For spiders?
There ain't no spiders in it. Spiders like nice, cool, moist places.
Like your
my
mouth.
Attic is neither cool nor moist.
No, you don't understand. When they come into the nice, cool places, I fucking murder them. Okay? And occasionally a survivor makes it back to the land of the rest of the spiders.
And tells the horrific story.
Don't go to the cool, moist places.
Yeah. Let's hang out
seek
up
out
here.
The hot, murky place.
Bitch will melt your ass.
It is a land of freedom.
Man, there ain't so much as a web up there.
No, I got plenty of shit.
Yeah, you keep,
I mean, not
you
like
keep
not like
shit
like,
up there, don't you?
Yeah, lots of
not,
shit.
Not
up
like
there.
I don't have like a light.
Well, I meant like your TV shit.
I got an antenna up there.
Yeah.
That's what you
probably
mean.
Keep that stuff clean and nice, and, you know.
No, dude, it's an
attic.
It's a crawl space over my house. Like, it's only there to, like...
I'm just saying, I'm with him on the fact that attic, basement, they're going to be spiders. Any place I occupy...
The only thing that was ever alive in my attic was
basement's
like going to
have monsters, not spiders.
What are you, I only found out about that when
spiders are stink. Spiders are monsters, motherfucker. What the fuck is wrong with you? Things with eight legs are monsters.
That's all right. Talk over my stinky squirrel story. That's fine. Now you're not going to hear it.
Stinky squirrel.
Yeah.
Up in the attic.
Maybe. You don't know.
You'll never know now.
I had a way to derail.
Whatever. Let's fucking talk about addicts some other time.
Yeah.
You want to go on to that?
I don't know,
man. Or we could go on to this that we're going to talk about.
That takes about 30 seconds.
Hulu?
We ain't touched on Hulu in like 2 weeks.
We haven't. We were going to touch on it last week, but it was...
Yeah.
People just kept leaving the room as we kept going longer and longer.
Well, and like...
It's going to be a habit.
That wasn't really a very... That really wasn't a very comfortable... That hasn't been a very comfortable discussion. It's hard to have that talk. Again, without going into... I don't like the way you spend your money. It's basically kind of how the argument always revolves. And that's sort of difficult for me because... What the hell else am I going to do with my money?
Buried in the backyard.
So,
spiders.
I mean, whatever. Like, here's the thing. I am not opposed to either Hulu Plus or PSN Plus. Either one. I love the idea of Hulu Plus. They don't have me sold on it yet. A, bitches, I'm trying to give you my money. You've got it launched, $10. Take my $10.
What's the sign up for an invite? We'll send you in a few months.
You don't want my $10? Yeah. Fuck you. That irritates me. Like, I know, and, you know, I've already got Netflix, and I know the difference between Netflix and Hulu. I know the crossover that the two of them have. I know that a lot of shit I can get in the same place, you know, here that I can get over there. But as an example, just as a little example, I just watched all of Dollhouse, right? I watched the first season on Netflix. Second season was only available on Hulu. That's a perfect example of how both of the systems, even when handling the same property, manage it in an entirely different way. If the Hulu Plus service broadens itself to the point where it offers enough things in their entirety, then there's nothing to it. And it's if it's another service that helps get me off of cable or get the old lady off of cable,
right, right,
that'll be really, really nice. But whatever, like, that's fine. They just
here's how I see it. You know, $10 a month for access to all of that TV shit. If you like TV shit, Hulu Plus is a good alternative to cable.
Yeah.
If you like a lot of movies, Netflix is a really good alternative to cable. If you like both, $20 a month is still cheaper than cable.
Yeah.
The only thing that's really lacking for anybody is if you're a big sports fan. There's really
That's really tough.
That's a problem for people.
Right.
But not being one of those guys, hey man, I'll give me some.
And I'd like
shit.
To
on your 360, you're getting your ESPN.
Yeah, you
shit
will be able to
coming
get
out in whatever November or whenever they do their update shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that's an exclusive deal between, you know, Microsoft and ESPN to have that, but we thought that was the same way with Netflix, and a year later or so, popped up over on PS3.
Yeah.
So
the some of the specifics about these services, and about kind of confluence of different services, I think has resulted in a lot of upset. I would maybe use like Hulu on one of the other services if I already had it, like one of the other console services. I watch Hulu on my second monitor on my PC though, like while I'm fucking around on the other one. Like, so really how it interacts with Xbox Live or PSN was never a chief concern of mine.
Right.
So
I already watch Hulu on my TV via the Hulu desktop app.
Right, right.
Which I've got a home theater PC for.
It's just, you know, I'm not set against it, although they're not getting my money yet, just because, like, you need to show me a little bit more about what you're offering. At the moment, it's not quite enough for me. I would like a little bit more. But I can tell they're going to reach that point sooner or later. Probably sooner, if they can just get out of this invite-only phase that they're in.
Netflix, when it first started on the 360,
was pretty crap.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
it was
you
bad.
Saw that. You saw my list. I was just like, Here's an old TV show I've already seen five times. Here's an old TV show I've already seen 10 times.
It's not even the
times.
Entire series. It's just a couple episodes.
You know, well, at the time, it was a lot of the episodes, and now that's sort of changing to where it's like,
a lot of the way that Netflix manages its stuff is that Netflix may have the rights for an entire series, but not streaming.
But not streaming, right.
You know, whereas, again, looking over to Hulu, something that you can possibly get through Hulu is the whole thing going all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And like, man, I don't know. It sucks that they didn't actually cut commercials out of it. That really kind of blows. But the commercial footprint's actually pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
I can grit my teeth and overlook it. It sucks, but not enough to turn me away from the thing as a whole. The really good news, I suppose, in its relationship with the consoles is that you don't have to have PSN Plus to run Hulu Plus.
Yeah, that's only for the preview.
Right, but for a solid like 2 weeks there,
it was like, oh fuck, I'm gonna have to pay $50 on top of
bullshit. Yeah, the bullshit being that.
Which looks to be what you'll do
Netflix
for Microsoft anyway.
Netflix was in the clear
on the
free aspect of the PSN service. So it looked like they were pulling a shitty. Apparently they weren't.
Perfectly legitimate to give a preview only to your premium members. That's fine.
And the PSN Plus is another service I'm not even close to sold on at the moment. Mm-hmm. I like the idea. I like the structure. I like the general look and feel of what you sold me, but when you put it out there for me to spend money on, I don't see a single thing worth spending money on. Mm-hmm. So I'm not opposed to your subscription service. Just fucking offer me some value, for God's sake. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to all of those different platforms maturing a little bit more. Well, at the moment, they're not getting any more money.
Yeah, that didn't take long to talk about, did it?
In the scheme of things?
Well, comparatively? No. Not at all.
That was all on pause, by the way. I didn't
record anything. He's letting James borrow his Wii.
That's pretty fun.
Fuck.
Some guy on IRC was talking about how his friend wanted to sell his white Wii because he'd rather have a black Wii.
You need to be careful. You should never put anything on the internet.
Including your first and last name?
Yeah, there you go. The guy you may become. That was a lot of bait, actually, what you just did right there.
I know.
That's not a problem. You don't have any problem with your first and last name being on the internet?
No, I don't.
Of course you don't. Jesus Christ, that's really not a problem.
No, my first and last name is on the internet.
I know.
Anytime I post on the front page of COG, it's my first and last name.
I'm just saying you don't have a problem with it.
No, I don't.
It's pretty interesting, though. The whole thing is pretty fucking interesting. I can't believe they fucking stepped in it, though.
Yeah.
They're powerful enough to weather this bad press. So what I'm most curious about is how they react to it, like what they wind up doing. Because nobody likes the system. Nobody's genuinely really pleased about the system. So,
unfortunately, by the time people hear this, they'll probably already know the answer to that question.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Regardless, that's the fact of the matter, and that's how I feel about it. I don't know if my phone's doing that, but it's my phone. Yeah,
okay,
so don't look at me.
that was why my head slowly turned, because I thought that's unlike you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always keep it, turned off, but I obviously hit the switch when I slid it into my pocket last time. So.
Yeah, I'm not. I googled my name, and I'm not even on the first. Page.
On the same,
where I
yeah.
show up. Apparently, there's a Scott Benton on Facebook that is not me. Yeah. And apparently, my real full name is Scott Benton Jr., Jerry Scott Benton Jr. There's an obituary for a Jerry Scott Benton Jr.
Dude, you're dead.
But that was the only one that was kind of interesting. But yeah, whatever.
I'm the same way. I don't really.
I'm not trying to challenge fate here and have anybody, want to go and look that shit up. But,
Yeah. It's not, that just the one thing I want to get away from is, the concept of your first and last name on the internet is the least of your problems. Your first and last name is already on the internet.
Yes.
It's what a group of people like Blizzard want to do with that you should be most concerned about, and what their, unfortunately troglodytic fan base wants to do with it. that should concern you. So go post on fucking MMO Champ now, or you know, WoW.com, or anywhere but the World of Warcraft forums.
Yeah.
Not that anywhere else will have you, but... Or if you're like the majority of us, who fucking cares?
Just we never post
there anyway.
Yeah.
It's all look-see, you know? If I want to post, I go to COG. And most people will maintain a relationship away from the boards, I'm afraid. Or would be surprised. I don't know. Crazy fucking thing, though. I guess when you're that big and you step in it, like...
You
can be expected to make real waves.
Yeah.
So, make for interesting news.
Saw an article that Jane's is coming out with a new game. Where Jane's advanced tactical fighter, I think.
Something. Yeah, it's not a real game though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, when's the last time you've had Jane's on a title of a, you know, anything?
I don't know, but it was a real game.
Yeah.
Like, not just because they're willing to put Jane's on something if it's not
Jane's
a proper
Advanced
sound.
Strike Fighters.
Yeah, I don't think it's a proper game. At least that's what I'd been told by folks what know.
Yeah. Makes me wish, though.
Yeah, someday. I mean, you know. Bobby Kotick loves the PC again.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get another European Air War.
Oh, God, that would be... I would love to shoot you down over...
Nobody would buy it. Whatever. One of your laptop there.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Bobby Kotick doesn't love the PC.
He loves the idea of setting up his own version of Live on the PC.
Oh, that was great, man. That was pretty funny. I was like, dude, come on. No. No, you can't. You're not going to make it happen. Like, it's not going to work. I'm afraid.
The pie in the sky dreams of guys who, you know, bathe in bathtubs full of dollars.
Yeah.
I wish we let our titles be longer.
Yeah. Addressing what someone emailed about last week about me finishing Dead Space, I want to go ahead and say that I did that over the weekend. I finally beat Dead Space, and then the next day I went out and beat Alan Wake. So, I'm happy with myself.
Don't talk about Alan Wake yet. But.
No. I'm definitely interested in the, you know, obviously the interest in the DLC.
Yeah.
In the new episode for that.
Same day as start. Day after.
You finish that shit before you finish Red Dead, though. I'm just saying.
Because
that's worth your time.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, no, I'm sure I will. If I have any... Well, I needed to finish it before the DLC, but... fucking, you know. My Battle.net overlord, social master, is demanding that I play his game on the 27th. Which is, I believe, the same day that the DLC comes out.
Isn't that also the same day as StarCraft?
Oh, God.
What the fuck did I just say?
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding.
Were you playing the part of Matt?
I was.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a hard time for anything else to get my attention.
Yeah.
On the 27th. Yeah, I'll do that before I do Red. Red Dead's kind of like a...
Back burner.
Something like that. And I'm, you know, currently like having a love affair with my PC again. So. Yeah.
I know, Scott, you said before we recorded that you got Dead Space on your PS3.
Well, there was a deal that came up. There was EA Store was having a deal, and I mean, you could buy, it was any of their games. It was a ton of games that were on sale. Dead Space happened to already be $20, and there was a coupon to have a certain, like 40% off or something like that, a $20 or more game. So put that in. And then there was another coupon to put in for free shipping. So basically, it was Dead Space for $10.
That is awesome.
And I chose the PS3 version only for the fact that I'm going to be picking up Dead Space 2 with Extraction on PS3 when it gets released.
Yeah.
So I decided to go that route with it.
Plus, I think the PS3 armor that you could get, because like they had Xbox armor on PS3. Yeah, the PS3.
Which I downloaded that armor way back when. I do this a lot.
Yeah.
I do it with PC games. Yeah. I can't play any of them, but I'll go ahead and buy them.
Just on the off chance that, you know.
Right. It was free, so I was like, well, I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
It's totally free. So I grabbed that as well.
That's better looking armor.
Yeah, definitely.
It was functionally the same, I think.
I think
there was
so.
No, there was no benefit other than
the aesthetics.
Yeah, that was it.
But yeah,
well, there was a fucking benefit to the DLC armor.
Oh, I mean, yeah, between the two.
I mean, there was no difference between the two,
except for aesthetically.
Yeah. No, but
you got like umpteen.
You got a lot more slots.
More slots. That's
you
right,
basically
that's
never
right.
had to buy a suit.
Yeah.
You know, you ever never had to buy a suit upgrade.
Yeah, I got them both. I got one on the 360 and the one on the PS3. So.
Yeah, really, really good game. I enjoyed it going through.
Had I not had Crackdown, probably playing that.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Not scary. Not supposed to be. The twist wasn't. Yeah, I know. I don't think it was supposed to be.
Like, yeah.
It's okay. It was an actioner. Wasn't survival horror.
I still love the story. I still love the. Oh, yeah. I still love that backstory. I still love the you know.
Yeah, it's
the look of it and the feel. I love his armor.
A lot of it made, you know, as far as the story went, after going through the whole game.
Right, I haven't gone through the game. I was just that like, whole setup.
What's going on? Whatever. I just killed the thing. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's great. But whatever. It was fun playing.
Yeah.
You'll find out.
Yeah, I will. All right. That's it for me.
It's time.
It is time.
It's really, really time. I'm going to go home and
Monkey
take
Island.
Over that base where that guy is who was shooting missiles at me. That's what I'm going to do. Kill one of them colonels. Them colonels are bitches. I hate those guys. I really, really hate those guys. I'm tempted to download some black market mod where I can just buy all black market shit for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did download a mod to turn that motherfucker off. Like, every time you call the black market dude in the helicopter.
And he talks to you?
Rackham, you know, and you're like, oh my god, shut the fuck up. I downloaded a mod that just shuts him the fuck up.
That's amazing. They made a mod to shut
him. Yeah, because people fucking hated it. So that whole little cutscene where you have to like watch the helicopter come in and then like wait before you can jump out, like just cuts that shit out.
Nice.
If I call the black market thing, it just brings up the black market menu. I was like, oh. And it, like rules.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing that you know, for the black market, you can't get like multiple things. It's like get the car, and then it comes, then you get the.
Yeah, it's a little broken. You can fix that shit, by the way.
Yeah,
tell you that Crackdown 2, that is nice. The hideout locations or whatever. Remember the little storage places there? Well, they're in a way back in 2, except now I can have vehicles delivered there. I don't have to go all the way back to the fucking agency tower to get one.
Which
of my
really
cars.
Sucked because a lot of times I would wreck and destroy my fucking car before I got back.
Before you even got to where, yeah, I had to drive so goddamn slow through the tunnels so I don't put any damage on it because I need to get out. Don't go so fast because there's usually a ramp at the end of these fucking things.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can grab a vehicle now. There, of course, I still miss the fact that they don't like. Their little
transforming,
their little more.
It was fun.
Transforming
it was actually
thing.
Quite fun.
I just loved that.
I know that
I was
going to
ask you if you missed that.
I love that shit. I'd get in and out of a car just to watch the damn thing change.
Yeah, man.
And it was most fun whenever I leveled up while driving.
Yeah.
Because then it would do its little shit at a level
going,
point. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's great. And it didn't happen. I leveled up while driving and I didn't even know it.
You see, nobody really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Nobody cared, so they took it out.
But what they really were asking for is, like, you know, orbs that move and run away from you.
They're not as bad
You're
as...
You're a fucking liar.
No. Wait. The agility ones aren't as bad once you've gained a lot of agility, because you can outrun the fuckers. The race, the ones that you can only
you've
pick up...
You've clearly found a lot of liar orbs.
The one in the vehicle modes can go fuck themselves, because I can't chase them down. They move out of the way, and trying to turn in one of these cars going at top speed is tough. So... Fuck the racing orbs.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I'm sure they're fine. God, that'll never be the reason I don't buy the game.
Yeah,
just
of course.
Like, wow, that sounds like a lot of not fun. Sorry. That's just never a thing I would have thought of when I thought about what I wanted you to add to the game. So
yes.
It becomes a non-issue to me. Oh, well. Yeah, play me some Just Cause. I wanted to play through Metro some more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got really kind of pissed off that they didn't have I didn't mind the first time through, but wanting to play through again, I got pissed off there was no quick save, because like I wanted to go through, there's achievements for like go through this level killing everybody or go through this level killing nobody, like same thing. And I kept wanting to go through a specific level in stealth, and the stealth mechanic in Metro is kind of weird. There is no Splinter Cell style of stealth where you can get all the way through a level without alerting anybody. It's more about, and it's kind of bullshit, because as soon as one person knows where you are, they all know exactly where you are all the time for the rest of the level.
Wow.
That's hard.
Kind of shitty that way.
Yeah.
So the minute you've lost stealth, that's it, you're fucked. If you're trying to get as far... The question is, how far can you get before having to initiate open combat? That's what the stealth is really about. And
if you had a quick save, then you could be able to go back and click...
Yeah. And it would be more, in my opinion, more fun. But... and it's tough, dude. It's really, really tough, because all the bad guys are like armored like a son of a bitch. So headshots are not always guaranteed, because they're wearing... you know, plated armor, and like, you fucking no bullshit have to shoot them in the goddamn neck between their body armor and their head armor. You know, like, it's really deliberate about that stuff. And I'm like, motherfucker, and I miss every now and then. And like, you know, my fucking pneumatic air bolt pings off of his Kevlar, and he's like, wah! And I'm like, motherfucker.
Bring.
You were the last guy before I hit the next checkpoint. Son of a bitch. You know, like, it happened a lot. Really fun game though. Like I said, if you got nothing else to do, like, I know motherfuckers got flaws, like, but shit, dude, I had a lot of fun with it. I love that piece of shit. Really look forward to the next one. I'd like to hear from somebody that's played it. Anybody else that's played it, or anybody that's put it on the console.
Yeah, I'm curious how the console holds up to it.
Yeah, it was fucking just beautiful. I mean, I played it. I didn't put it on. I played for a while with DirectX 11 enabled. But it was a little bit swimmy, so I dropped down to DirectX 10 and put it on very high settings, and was fine. Like, really, really, I was really, really fine with it. It was a very, very pretty game. So, really happy with that. Would not mind playing through more. Wish there were more mods for it.
Yeah.
But there's not.
Maybe someone make a quick save mod.
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible the way that the game is. If they did, holy shit, you know. But yeah, that was time really well spent. I think I'd like to do some Borderlands this weekend. So if you're up for some Borderlands,
yeah, definitely. I haven't even tried that multiplayer yet. And I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I've just been doing it single player.
That was the thing. I actually didn't hate it single player.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm loving it.
It felt kind of lifeless, but it was like, hey, nobody's in my way.
Yeah, it's more like, you know, loner and, you know, Mad Maxy kind of. You know,
yeah, I mean, it wasn't great. I certainly liked it better when everybody was around. But
hey, is that green? Claptrap still up in that little rocky surface there, the big one? That one that we kept trying to get to?
I have no idea.
Oh, I didn't know if you looked at him yet or not.
I haven't played it on PC yet at all. I haven't even loaded it up. I got it installed, I just haven't loaded it up. Well, because I saw that you had it and a couple other people had it, and I was like, a bunch of people got it on the sale, maybe we should just throw in for a kind of a group deal, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I've been playing it for a while. I'm up to like level 35.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to re-roll with me, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. I could do that.
Start fresh.
You're like, I know you will.
Yeah, I don't know.
Might try a different character. You know, like different class. See what it's like. I'll be a bruiser.
Don't be that guy. I can picture you as that dude.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't know what to do.
That shit looks boring.
Yeah, if I can't shoot people.
I mean, you can. I think you got a gun as the guy, right? Don't you get some kind of gun as the big guy with the fists?
Man, I don't know. I wasn't the big guy with the fists.
No, you ought to know. With a fist.
Yeah, fucking who cares?
Must exactly.
RJ may have done the big guy with a fist.
He probably did.
RJ's probably played through that game on
every. Now Kevin was a soldier.
Yeah, he had the healing rockets.
Yeah.
Great idea. That show.
I can't see my screen's all flaming.
Should maybe try to get him in on that.
Yeah, that'd be
fun. I should have picked up the fucking 4-pack.
I wish he'd have told me. Yeah, I didn't grab it either.
Ah, fuck it. Let's go home. See you guys next week.